Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at ZMAX Dragway September 13 through 15. There's no speed limit in drag racing, so these road rockets blister ZMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Watch Sean Force, Antoine Brown, and Courtney Force push the outer limits of speed only at ZMAX Dragway. Kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals at ZMAX Dragway.
WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And welcome to all you first-time listeners checking in to hear the O'Reilly Auto Parts Northwest Nationals presented by Superstar Batteries winners, and we've got them on this show. Joining us just minutes from now, we're going to hear from Matt Hagen, four wins on the season. He's the points leader, really pouring it on. He was pumped up, grabbed Gary Gerald right after he popped out of that funny car after the final round win. We're going to hear from Matt on this show. What's he thinking? The championship is right around the corner. We're going to find out. Matt Hagen fans, tweet your friends. Matt's on this show. Also on the show, Morgan Lucas, battling all year long. How many races did he lose with the second quickest ET of first round early in the year? Made three final rounds, back-to-back finals, breaks through with a win. Morgan Lucas going to be on this show. How's he preparing for the championship? It's just a couple of races away. The big go, the U.S. Nationals as well. We're going to hear from Morgan. If you're a fan of Morgan with that Geico Top Fuel Dragster, tweet your friends, retweet on Facebook, get ready, because Morgan is going to be on this show. Also on the show, he agreed to answer questions from you guys. Listeners have been sending questions. We got questions for Vincent Nobile, back-to-back wins, the Mopar sweep of pro stock. Vincent Nobile going to be on this show, so get ready. And it gets even better, because on this show, he's the 17th driver ever to double up at an NHRA national event. He swept the Western Swing twice in his career. This is the second time, winning stock and super stock. His first double up win of his career, though, Dan Fletcher is going to join us once again on this show. So if you're an NHRA fan, you claim to like this sport, let me tell you, this is the show for you. So get ready, sit down, strap in, hold on, because we're going WFO, and we start them all off the same way with the NHRA's Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here. Great to be back home, actually.
Yes, you are back home for first time in 3 weeks, right? You were out on the tour.
Yeah, I left for Denver and then never came back. Between doing press conferences and doing some other stuff during the week, just made more sense logistically to stay out. And, of course, part of it was personal on the Sonoma to Seattle trip. But it's good to be back home. Good to recognize the walls when you wake up in the morning.
Everything still where it's supposed to be?
Exactly where I left it.
Well, that's wonderful. That's the best news right there.
Yeah, no question about it. There's something about, I wish I could find like some little elves or something that would come in and clean everything up for me, but I haven't got to that point yet.
Yet. It could happen any day. Technology, maybe clone yourself.
Oh, no. That wouldn't be good for anybody. I get in enough trouble just with one of me. Can you imagine me trying to have to explain for another one of me?
No, I really can't. There was a movie like Duplicity a couple of years back. Michael Keaton, very funny stuff. But then again, that's like an 80s reference. Alan, this looked like it was a great swing. Three races in a row. Unfortunately, a little weather at this one. The two sessions, kind of shocking the field as Ron Capps misses the show.
Yeah, you know, anytime that we have abbreviated qualifying, you always know that you're going to have kind of some oddball first round matchups. You know, with four runs, all of the good teams eventually are going to get where they need to be. They're going to make a decent run, and while you may have a surprise car in the bottom half of the field, you rarely have a surprise car outside. But when it started drizzling Friday afternoon before we ran the first pro session and just continued all afternoon, you know, the beauty of it is everybody knows going in you got two shots to get this done. And, you know, it's not like anybody was blindsided, anybody was surprised. They all knew that going up there on Saturday morning, and it, you know, for whatever reason, the Napa guys just didn't get it done, which is probably a bigger stunner than if it had been most anybody else, because when you think Ron Tobler, you don't think of a guy that throws away very many runs. You know, he's so consistent and so solid and so steady, and it was a real stunner that the Napa car didn't qualify just for that reason alone. And, you know, not to throw anybody under the bus, but you know as well as I do, there's some of the high-profile, high-powered guys that are kind of swing-for-the-fence guys, and it wouldn't surprise you as much if you took two runs away from them and they didn't get the handle on it in two. But a guy like Ron Tobler that's just been so solid and so successful for so long, that was a huge surprise. Of course, Ron Capps is, you know, he's solid in the countdown to the championship. He doesn't have anything to worry about there. But, you know, for Napa and all the guys, it was just a big disappointment, obviously.
Well, let me dig down on that, because I had an emotional reaction to it. I was listening to the audio cast, as I have been over the course of the Western Swing. And you folks out there that listen to the show, if you don't listen to the audio cast and qualifying, and I don't know what you're doing on Eliminations Day, perhaps hiding out to watch a TV broadcast, that's one thing. But I'm really enjoying listening to the audio cast, and I actually think it's going to be beneficial to me the next time I get on the mic. But it was shocking. It was literally shocking, like, wow, to roll away from the keyboard and the mouse and think Caps is not going to run. So I began to do some tweeting just to get the temperature of people out there. And I want to get yours now, Alan. I have a feeling you're a purist. I understand, as am I. But I also consider the other possibilities. In this very difficult corporate sponsorship atmosphere where every dollar is micromanaged and under the microscope, is there a way? I know drag racing is a very difficult, cruel, you don't qualify, you don't race kind of sport, has been, always will be, perhaps, but is this something that could be revisited? Is there a possibility of an all-run situation? Is this something that should even be entertained, given the fact that one of the biggest, best, most loyal, most marketing, activating sponsors out there, Napa, didn't get to race?
No.
Let's see, you were on the fence on that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, that's drag racing has always been about get it done now or else. You know, if you're going to seed Ron Capps in the field, okay, if you're going to say, you know what, the guy's second in points, he's a, you know, whatever, he's been to every race, he's, okay, he deserves to race.
Somehow, through some formula to be determined at some point.
All right. Well, then what do you do? Johnny Gray is 16th, so you tell him you don't race? Well, of course not. Johnny's in the same position as Ron. He's a big point player. He's been solid. So then you go up to the number 15 guy, which is John Hale, making his first ever NHRA start. Now you're going to tell him you don't get to run? He outran two of the big high-profile cars, the big high-finance cars, in his debut in the series, and you're going to tell him, no, you don't get to run? That's not right. He earned his spot. He gets his spot. That's the way it should be, and hopefully that's the way it always will be. If I'm the czar, I'm not changing it. You got to earn your stripes every week.
Well, I'll tell you what. The response I got from the Twitter sphere pretty much echoed that people did not want to see drag racing seed that aspect of the sport in favor of appeasing the corporate overlords in terms of sponsorship, and that if you get involved, you understand that, hey, in this situation, especially Caps, who's at the top of the points, and it's unfortunate over the course of the weekend, but the TV viewers got to benefit from him being in the booth. The majority of the audience out there in the Twitter world, at least, agreed. They did not want to see some sort of all-run format, or if there's 18 cars somehow, everybody runs, I don't know, there's a race in, I don't know. But it seemed the purists won out on that.
Well, you know, I'm going up there doing the last qualifying session. It, I think, adds a lot to the show when you go, okay, here it is. It's put up or shut up time. And, you know, first car down the track was Courtney Force, not qualified. They had a problem on the first run, didn't even get down the track. So she comes up not qualified. Her team puts up a 408. She goes to the top half of the field. You know, John Hale, who got shut off on the starting line, and again, that's the rookie. He was driving Steve Pfluger's car, but it was John's first ever start at an NHRA event. Not qualified. He comes up, makes not a beautiful run, but a decent run. Goes 453, puts himself in the field. Okay. Now Bob Tasca is out because he just got bumped out. He comes up, not qualified. Put up or shut up. Well, they were able to put a run on the board and go to the top half of the field. Terry Haddock in the other lane was not qualified. His car smoked the tires. He didn't get it done. He knows he's not going to race. The next two cars come up. Paul Lee, who is now not qualified. He just got bumped out. Now that he's driving Gary Densham's car, and we all know the potential of that car. It was top half qualifier last week, and it's been a solid time. Every time they bring that car out, he knows he's going to take a starting spot away from somebody. And Ron Capps was in the other lane, who was the number 16 guy, but knows full well, if I don't step up, I'm done. Well, Paul Lee stepped up. Ron Capps didn't. How do you now go tell one of the part-time racers that, you know what, we like this guy better than you, so he's going to race and you're not? You know, everybody had the same two opportunities. You had to get it done. And I give Ron credit in his PA interview. I didn't see the TV show, but in his PA interview, he was very candid. He said, you know what, we had the same chance as everybody else. They did it. We didn't. We don't deserve to race. We'll be back next week to try again. And I think that, I think that really preserves the purity of our sport in that, you know, you get one shot on race day. If you make a bad run first round, you're not going to come back from a lap down. You're not going to come back from a bad pit stop. You get one shot. You either get it right or you go home. Well, in qualifying, you get more than one shot, but you have to earn it every week. We're not giving anybody do-overs, and I think that's the way it should be.
Very interesting, and that seems to be the case with the drag racing fans and the drama of the Saturday ticket right there, folks. Not just cars going down the racetrack. There is a show within a show, and that is qualifying. Let's talk about the ladder. What's up with the number one qualifier getting taken out by number 16 all year this year?
It happened every time on the swing in one class or another. But again, I think part of it is the parity of the cars in the class, the fact that there are so many good cars. You know, qualifying number one or two, you're not always going to be guaranteed that you're going to have an easy first-round matchup. I think another big part of it, and in this case was the funny car that number 16 beat number one, Johnny Gray's team struggled in qualifying, and he was number 16. You don't normally think of him being a number 16 car, and I guarantee you, if you're Jack Beckman, who qualified first number one for the first time this year, they're not going up there thinking, okay, we got an easy draw here in round number one, because Johnny Gray, up until Matt won, had won more races than anybody on the season, was solidly in the points. That is a big, fast, mean car, and the fact that they didn't make that run on Saturday certainly doesn't mean they're not capable of making it on Sunday. So you come up and prepare for it, and well, this time Johnny got it done and Jack turned into a spectator.
And Johnny goes to the second round where he ran Courtney first round against Alexis. The rivalry, they are running each other a lot. We're seeing these two mix it up a lot. It's been one-sided to this point.
Yeah, they're pretty good friends off the racetrack, but Courtney certainly had the better of it on the racetrack throughout her career so far. But, you know, and Alexis's car, again, Alexis is battling to try to get into that top 10 spot. I think most people might have written her off before Sonoma, but after a semifinal finish in Sonoma and the car definitely showing some signs of life, all of a sudden, you know, you start believing you can do it. And since Courtney's teammate slash brother-in-law, Robert, is also right in the middle of the mix, that becomes a very important run for a lot of different reasons, not just the rivalry between the two female friends that are out there racing in Funny Car, but Courtney trying to help her teammate by taking out some of the competition.
John Force getting a big hole shot put on him by Paul Lee, who I know, Paul, that Gary Densham car, I'm wondering, Alan, why, and maybe Gary doesn't want to do it. Maybe it's as simple as that. But Gary Densham seems like a really strong, high-dollar crew chief potential guy.
Yeah, I know, you know, Gary's very involved with the deal. Of course, you know, Greg Amaral, who he's worked with for a number of years, I think they kind of collaborate on most of this stuff. I'm with you. I don't know that it hasn't been offered and turned down, but it wouldn't surprise me to see Gary and Greg out there, maybe in an advisory role for somebody. They said they come to Sonoma, put a 4-0 up on the board. They ran 4-0s in Pomona earlier this year. They definitely have a combination that looks like it's pretty friendly and that they can work with. Maybe at some point before the end of the season he will be out there, or maybe he really doesn't have a desire to. You know, I know from talking to him, you know, just the sheer economics of the fact that, You know, Paul Lee owns McLeod Clutches and certainly brings financial support to the team when he drives the car, but Gary's not thrilled about being a crew chief. It's like, you know, it's his hot rod. He wants to drive it. You know, reality being what it is, you don't always get what you want. But I don't know. I don't know if he has an interest in that. I would guess, you know, somebody might make him an offer he couldn't refuse. But maybe someday that'll happen.
Yeah, you never know. Just very impressive what Gary Densham's been able to do, and I'm sure John kicking himself after getting hole-shotted by Paul Lee with a 44 reaction time. But late in the round, semifinals, Courtney against Matt. Matt's able to hole-shot her by a little bit and win just an incredible race. And Tim Wilkerson leaves before the tree's activated, or at least deep red, sends Bob Tasca to the final round. And Tasca, boy, did he need it. But Hagen comes out on top. Four wins now for Hagen on the season. And boy, do they look strong.
Yeah, Hagen's team, you know, they're not showing any flaws right now. That team from top to bottom, you know, they're not making mistakes in the pits. They're making good runs on the racetrack. You know, they're certainly not unbeatable, but they're not making a lot of mistakes. You better go out and make sure you get it right if you want to beat those guys. And, you know, Tasca, with so much stuff on the line for Tasca, he goes to two finals on the Western Swing. Remember, he got beat by Cruz out there in Denver. One spot left in the Traxxas shootout, and that's a $100,000 possible payday. That's just a huge round. And it's interesting, you know, the old classic strange bedfellows thing. Tim Wilkerson and Bob Tasca, you know, have operated as teammates, or at least logistic partners, I guess, if you want to call it that. Tim Wilkerson in the final round, I guarantee you, is rooting for Matt Hagen, because if Tasca wins, then it comes down to you got to win that popularity contest and win the lottery to get into the Traxxas deal. Well, now going into Brainerd, everybody still has a shot at it. Robert Height still has a shot at it. You know, and Ford alliances aside, Robert Height's guys were rooting for Matt Hagen. They want to keep that spot open in the Traxxas shootout. It's just, you know, it's that big a deal to be involved in it. And at this point, there's still a lot of guys that believe they can close the deal and get in without having to go through the fan vote way to do it.
And we're talking about 100K. That is a big, big deal. And, of course, the fan vote, there's lottery balls. You get the fan votes determine the amount of lottery balls that you get in the random drawing. So it's not just that John Force Racing, the juggernaut, media-wise, can roll over Tim Wilkerson, say, because there is still an element to the draw, a random element.
I think it'd be interesting, too, because, you know, I've known Robert Height for a lot of years. I have a very good relationship with Robert. He's one of the sharpest guys out there. But from a fan popularity standpoint, last year you pretty much knew Courtney was going to run away with the fan vote, and she did. But I don't know, you know, if you put Robert Height up against, say, a Tim Wilkerson, you get all the Wilk Warriors out there, I don't know that he is going to have that big an advantage, even with the old JFR machine behind him. So I think it'll be a whole lot more wide open fan vote this year, no matter what. I know that Robert and Zip and the guys honestly, truly believe they're going to go to Brainerd and win the race, and they won't have to worry about it. So we'll just have to wait and see.
That's what's fun about the fan vote, though, because you're right. Wilkerson is a very popular guy, and the more people that get to know him and what his personality is, and folks, if you're listening for the first time, you can go into our archive and hear Wilk on the show. He's a funny guy. He's a character, and you almost have to like the guy.
Jack Beckman's not qualified for that yet either. I mean, you got a couple of pretty high-profile guys, and, you know, you want to talk about stacking up media machines. You want to put DSR up against JFR to see, you know, how much they can get out and beat the bushes on social media and all that stuff. So
yes, I do.
There's a lot going on, and it's going to be fun to watch how it plays out over the next few weeks. And, you know, this obviously is for the Traxxas race, but I think that, you know, is another element that the countdown has brought into things. It's middle of the season. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of reason to pay attention with what's happening in drag racing that under the old points format, you know, you didn't necessarily have that. You certainly have the indie drama and all the stuff surrounding that, but there is a lot going on over the next 2 weeks. You know, who's going to run the shootout? Who's going to run for the championship? Who's going to make the top 10? Who's not? And it's a fun time to be a fan right now. And first and foremost, that's what I am, as a drag racing fan.
Isn't that the truth? Let's move into Top Fuel, because we got a lot to talk about today. We got a lot to talk about on this show. Langdon, number one qualifier, takes out Troy Buff in the first round. is able to go on to the semis, where he meets up with Morgan Lucas, a rerun or a re-meet, a rematch of last week's final round. And this time, Morgan gets the better of Sean, goes to the final. On the other side of the ladder, David Grubnik and TJ Zizzo collide in the semis, and Grubby goes to the final round, and Morgan Lucas, three finals on the season, breaks through, gets his first win, and isn't the timing just perfect?
That car's definitely starting to wake up at the right time. But, you know, Morgan made a point in the press room that I thought was interesting. He said, you know, we're not looking to peak at the right time. We're looking to plateau at a high level. And, you know, he cited some of the other teams that, you know from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, these guys are going to be strong every week. They're going to be players every week. You know, not necessarily going to win every race. But you look at the Army car. When's the last time somebody said the Army car was in a slump? You know, the Alanabi guys didn't have a great year last year. But I don't think anybody ever said, you know, that they're in a slump. Those guys week in and week out are very strong contenders. And I think, you know, I know that's what Morgan wants his team to be there. He wants to not have the peaks and valleys. He just wants to put that team on a plateau at a pretty high level, and they look like they're definitely going in the right direction right now.
And you do have such a level playing field in Top Fuel. I'm looking at TJ Zizzo taking out Tony Schumacher, which you referenced in the first round. Bob Vandergriff getting hole-shotted by Antron Brown, but Antron getting outrun but still winning. Just across the board, anybody can win on any given race. This is getting to be wild in terms of entertainment value. The battle for 10th, not so much in Top Fuel, however, as it is in Funny Car. It's a wild war back there. Steve Torrence, I don't want to call him safe, but he's got a little gap.
Yeah, he's got a little bit, but you also got to realize that, you know, Steve Torrence, over the course of the last couple of weeks, man, let's just say they haven't made as much noise as they'd like to. Number one qualifier and out early in Denver, out early last week, out in the second round this week, and you know, when you look at the guy that's right behind him, yeah, he's got some ground to make up, but we're talking about David Grubnik, who just went to the final round. So you've got a team that's coming in with a little momentum against a team who's, well, let's just say doesn't have a lot of momentum on their side right now, and two races left before we make the cut for the countdown. So there's a lot of area there that could possibly be made up. You know, I don't know that Brandon Bernstein's got enough time left. You know, he needed to get back in the cockpit and just be on fire. And that hasn't happened for the Protect the Harvest team. So, you know, mathematically, I don't think he's locked out of it. But realistically, I don't see him making up enough ground to pass both David and Steve. But it'll be interesting to see what happens now. If Grubnik's team can go into Brainerd and continue with the momentum that they've got, pick up two more rounds or maybe even more than that on Steve-O, then all of a sudden there's a possibility going into Indy, and that's all anybody ever wants is, you know, just give me a chance, and then we'll see if we can make it happen.
Pro Stock, Mike Edwards, number one qualifier again. Not a shocker, although Ricky Jones was holding the spot until that second run. But at the end of the day, Jeg and Vincent, once again, the Mopar sweep, kind of a new thing, as Allen and Vincent combine to sweep the Western swing. But Vincent Nobile, once again, he's having some strong luck against Jeg in final rounds.
I said going into the final round when they were getting ready to stage, I said, you know, there's nobody in Pro Stock that's happy about racing Jeg Coughlin in the final round. You know, Jeg has such a tremendous record. He's a guy that just finds ways to win, even if he doesn't have a dominant car or the best, you know, the fastest machine out there. But Vincent Nobile now is 3-0 in final rounds against Jeg. You know, they're pulling up the stage. Everybody else in Pro Stock could be looking out the window going, oh, no, not that yellow and black car. And Vincent, I'm sure, has got the New York smirk on his face, and he's like, you again? Come on, pal, let's go. And got it done. You know, that team's running well right now. You know, the Hemi sweep of the swing is pretty impressive if you're a Dodge fan. You know, all six finalists on the swing. You go back to AJ and V Gaines were the two finalists out there in Denver, and then obviously we've had the instant replay of Jeggy and Vincent the last couple of weeks. But, you know, the Mountain View car is strong. They obviously have good power under the hood. You know, Mike Edwards needs to get his left foot back in the game. His car is fine. And I'm not talking behind his back. He'd tell you the same thing. But he hasn't got it done. You know, the horse hasn't been the problem. The rider has been off the game a little bit. And he just needs to get his focus back. But everybody in the pits will tell you, Mike Edwards still has the single best car out there right now. And he just needs to get his focus back as a driver. And then he'll be ready to make a run at the championship.
Do you think the top 10 in Pro Stock is pretty much locked in right from
now? Yeah,
and it looks like Erica is going to make it. in spite of not being in these races. I don't know what her plans are, and we're going to try to reach out to Erica in the next couple of weeks. Like, maybe they're, you know, compiling a six-race budget to try to run the championship and make some noise, or not. I don't know that. Maybe you do. But in terms of, like, who can win, who are players that could put together six races and win the title, clearly Mike Edwards, Alan Johnson, Jed Coughlin, Vincent Nobile, and are the KB guys in that that group right now? Is
they
Shane Gray?
That yet.
Not yet.
You know, I don't know. You know, if they all of a sudden bust out, I'll put Shane Gray on that list though, because right now his car is as good as anybody's out there. You know, he's in the top five in points because he deserves to be. Car's been fast. Car's been consistent. You know, they rattled the tires and ended up losing early this past weekend. But right now, I think Shane Gray looks like he's in more of a position to make a championship run than Jason or Greg. But I also believe that Jason and Greg are committed to the program that they've been working on. You know, they've made no bones about the fact that, you know, we don't want to get back up there even with those guys. We want to get in front of them. And for all those years when they were, you know, dominating pro stock, winning all those races and all those championships, they had a decided advantage that is gone now, and they're not trying to get even. They're trying to get ahead. And sometimes you got to back up before you get all that figured out. But I do believe that they are experimenting in areas that others aren't. And as of now, they haven't got that whole thing to come together yet.
Well, sometimes it takes a down year to build a great year, and the only way we'll know whether that's going to happen or work is just to keep on watching. And boy,
look at all the Nobby last year and this year.
Well, exactly. Sometimes, like you said, you got to take a step back, or maybe not a step back, but work in a different direction, and perhaps that is what's happening. Now, Alan, Sean Cowie, like some sub-stories here. This guy, this is the greatest story in the history of drag racing, perhaps. He's undefeated since his return.
You know, I said it a couple of times before, they'll never make a movie about it because nobody would ever believe it. But 27 months of rehab, you know, the fact, I think it's great that you had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, telling the story and all the stuff that he's been through. You know, the ESPN guys were following him around quite a bit this week, kind of chronicling, you know, his return back after the motorcycle accident that he was an innocent bystander that got caught up in. And it's just amazing. You know, he came up on the stage. I actually had his wife come up on the stage in Winter Circle with him just to enjoy the moment after all those two have been through. You know, winning a divisional race in Woodburn is certainly great therapy and makes you feel good to be back. But winning a national event, you know, Sean is from British Columbia, so Seattle's basically his home racetrack as far as the nationals go. You know, all the friends, all the family, everybody there to see him triumphant was a pretty amazing moment, and he was kind of emotional about it. I just, it's like I said, nobody would ever believe it if it wasn't happening for real.
And rightfully so, to be emotional. ESPN did a great job with the story. But if you want to hear Sean tell his story in his own words, you can check our interview clip archive because he was on a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, just like that, the story is even better now. Unbelievable. But in a good way. Now, Alan, also on the show tonight, Dan Fletcher. I know a racing legend, a good friend of yours, wins Super Stock and Stock, wins 84 and 85. His first double up of his career, which that was a little surprising, becomes the 17th driver to do that. And talk about accolades. This guy is just stacking them up.
Yeah, that double up was probably the last thing. Not probably. It was the last thing that he hadn't done. You know, multiple world championships, of course, all those wins. The Super Stocker that he drives is the single winningest car in NHRA. You know, eight times he had a chance to double up. He had a chance to do it one time here, I believe it was 09. And literally, I don't know. I know you talked to him. I don't know if he'll tell the story or not. But he literally pulled up in the stock eliminator final and forgot to turn the fuel pump on in the car.
Oh.
He smashed the gas off the starting line. It picked the front end up and quit. And he sat there and watched Doug Lambeck drive off into the sunset. But yeah, that was the last thing that he hadn't got done. And for a guy who, you know, he can find the dark cloud behind any silver lining, and in the Winter Circle he said, yeah, I guess even I can't bitch about this. It was, you know, a great day for a great racer, and he can scratch that off his to-do list now. But just, you know, one more piece. How about the fact that the last three consecutive years Seattle has seen a double-up winner? Last year it was Brad Plourde. The year before that, Jody Lang did it. And so that's, for whatever reason, becoming a real hotspot for double ups.
Absolutely. And, folks, you got to hear the Fletcher interview. It's coming up on the show. The guy is awesome. Like, he's a great personality. He's a real grassroots, doing it all himself kind of guy. And, you know, I do the interviews sometimes prior to the show. And I did ask Dan about that list of, like, to-do things, because I kind of figured he'd done it all. But actually, Alan, there was one thing that he said he hadn't yet done. And this was kind of in the post-interview conversation, but I got a pretty good feeling that Dan will be okay with me playing what that thing is. You ready?
Sure. I'm going to win in SuperCom. I promise you. When I do, dude, I'm going to make Reinhardt just eat the trophy.
Well, I got news for Dan. I firmly believe that he can win in SuperCom. I think he has the skill. I think he has the ability. I think he has the talent to do it. He's going to have to do it in a door car because he can't drive a dragster, period.
That's what he says that you say. He disputes it, and that's all coming up. He brought it up. I would never bring up such things. And he's like, you know, Reinhardt says that I'm breaking in engines every time I am out there in a dragster. That's his quote of your quote. And he's a determined man, Alan. He's determined.
If he ever wins Super Comp in a dragster, I will personally go down and give him the old I'm not worthy salute in the winner's circle in front of the crowd and anybody that wants to be there to take pictures. But I love Dan to death. He can't drive dragsters.
All right. Wow. See, you know, it's interesting that you make that caveat about the dragsters, because he's alluding to it, but in this particular quote, he did not mention in a dragster, because winning an endorsed slammer is very difficult.
But he's, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that he is one of the best door car, you know, you could, it's hard to say the best, because there are so many guys that have had a lot of success, even not necessarily on the NHRA trail, but over the years. But he is absolutely one of the best door car drivers that drag racing has ever known. But he's never been able to transfer that success to a dragster, just like there are a number of guys that have had a lot of success in dragsters that just haven't been able to transfer that over to door cars. If he does it, like I said, I will bow down and you know, I don't know if I'm going to eat the trophy, but...
Well, we'll get you guys both. I offered him, if it happens, I gave him a segment on the show to talk
okay.
to you. So
yeah, no, but usually, you know, he's been driving Anthony Bertozzi's cars for the last few times as he's been out in a dragster, and I have made that statement. I said, you know, that's what he's doing. You know, every time you get a new engine in a car, you know, you need to make three or four runs on it just to make sure that everything's seated and everything's ready to go. So you figure in Super Comp, you give it to Dan, he's going to make three practice runs first round, and then your car's broke in, ready to go. You can take it racing next weekend.
Oh, horrible, horrible. Now, Alan, one serious note. I mean, obviously, give me any final thoughts on the Lucas Oil Series, if there's anyone else. Obviously, Steve Williams with a win in Super Comp, and just a great weekend, if you have any other thoughts. And then I did want to mention the tether situation.
Well, I mean, you know, Steve Williams obviously winning back-to-back. He won in Sonoma last week, and then coming back and closing the deal in Seattle is a pretty big deal. We had a couple of first-time winners, too, which is always fun. It was just, without the Friday rainout, top to bottom, it was a great event. We had, you know, just good racing, some surprises, you know, from the alcohol classes all the way down to Super Street. It was just a tremendous event. You know, the crowds were good Saturday and Sunday. The crowd felt pretty good on Friday. We never got to see how full the stands were when the pros were running because we never got there. But if you were walking around back in the pit area or checking around, it sure felt like there were a lot of people there that got disappointed we didn't get to burn any nitro. So all in all, I think a good event. If it hadn't rained on Friday, it could have been a great event.
Absolutely. Larry Miner in Super Street.
Not the same guy.
Not the same guy. Okay, good. Just wondering. Wanted to make sure I touched on that.
Now, that Larry is actually the Division 6 Super Street champion, but it was his first ever national event win, so that's a pretty special deal as well.
Very good, very good. Now, the tether situation, something we talked about last week, and, you know, touchy in that fans don't have all the information. I thought that NHRA did the right thing, especially after Johnny Gray's explanation. And I think sometimes a visual explanation, the firecracker in the palm of your hand, I've done that, and so I kind of understand it. And I think that a lot of people out there probably said, wow, I never really thought of it that way. Making the tethers an option over the course of this weekend, I think a lot of racers were thankful about that.
There were a number that were. There were also a number that didn't take the tethers off. You know, we can't throw funny car bodies into the grandstands, period. You know, whatever the side consequence of that is, we'll have to deal with, but we have to keep the bodies on the car. You know, there were a number of the teams that were pretty vocal about it, and I think it's a great case that NHRA and the racers worked together. Both of them were willing to make a little concession. There was a long conference call on Thursday, and then there were meetings in the pits on Friday before it was ultimately determined that, you know, we'd let the latches take care of the job for now. You haven't heard the last of this, though. They are still working, you know, as a committee with the race teams and the NHRA engineers and the people to try to come up with a better solution. Might be more body tree in the car. The tethers might make a reappearance. I don't know what the ultimate solution is. The one thing about it that really bothered me from the get-go, and still does, and I talked to all of the DSR guys about it, is Ron Capps and Johnny Gray being so adamant about they never talked to the drivers. They should have talked to the drivers. They jammed this down our throat when Don Schumacher Racing was part of the committee from the get-go. And if their engineers didn't feel the need to reach out to their crew chiefs and drivers, they can't blame NHRA for that. And I wish one of them would stand up and apologize for that, because we were in contact with Don Schumacher Racing's engineers and people in their office working on this solution. And if those people didn't feel the need to reach out to their drivers, NHRA shouldn't shoulder the burden for that. And I wish, like I said, I wish one of those guys would stand up and apologize for that, because NHRA didn't deserve the bad PR rap that they got from those guys over that whole deal. And that's my personal feeling. I'm not speaking for my company.
Understood. And just, you know, browsing the internet, there was a lot of fan overreaction that maybe was caused by that. Alan, all in all, though, what a great Western swing. And now I can look ahead to the zoo. Like, I'm back at the track, baby. Brainerd. I get to fly in somewhere and drive 3 hours to somewhere where I don't know, but I'm going. And I'm going to be out there in the zoo, and I'm going to ask all the drivers about the zoo here tonight, what I can expect. And I'm just excited to think that we got Brainerd, we got the U.S. Nationals, and then it's countdown time, baby.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. There were a number of us who were talking about that on the Western Swing. It's like, wow, how fast the year has gone by. Can you believe that we're already talking about Brainerd and Indy? And at that point, you know, we're on the home swing. But it's been a pretty good year overall, and hopefully it'll continue that direction. I'm looking forward to having a couple of days here, trying to get some stuff accomplished in my shop and around here before I have to hit the airlines again. But I'm sure by then I'll be ready to go.
Absolutely. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun watching. I'll be even more happy to be out there in Brainerd in a couple weeks, though. Great job on the show, and thank you so much.
Joe, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you live and in person, and look forward to seeing Dan get into a dragster again. I'm not sure when it'll happen, but if he's smart, never, but we'll see.
One moment, please.
Dude, I'm going to make Reinhardt just eat the trophy.
He's got to win it in a dragster. If he wins Super Comp in a door car, that doesn't count.
Well, we'll find out. And folks, Dan Fletcher will be on this show in just a little bit, so stick around. Alan, thank you so much.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. All right, we got a lot of first-time listeners. You probably hear me saying what's up to the first-time listeners a lot, and you will, because each week, as we get closer to the countdown and get closer to the big go, get closer to the end of the season, we've got new people tuning in every week, signing on. And what I could say to all you people is, look, we have the drivers and the winners each week here on WFO Radio, and we're going to throughout the entire countdown. I'll be out at a lot of these NHRA events, and if you want your friends to know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, it's absolutely free. Tweet, retweet, Facebook, post the show. Let people know what we've got going on here on WFO Radio. I'll give you an example. We talked about Dan Fletcher. Wins 84 and 85 of his career. First time he doubles up. He's got a thing going with Reinhardt about the dragster. Fletcher going to be on the show in a little bit. Plus, we've got Don Schumacher Racing's Matt Hagen. Hagen is fired up. This is a big season for him. A big comeback season. We're going to hear from Matt in just a few minutes. We've got Morgan Lucas. Morgan, one of the good guys out there, trying really hard in a battle for the championship. And guess what? Back-to-back final rounds at just the right time. You heard Alan talk about plateauing at the right time at a very high level. Well, runner-up in final rounds and wins, that's exactly what he needs to do. We're going to Brainerd. We're going to Indy. We've got the countdown. We're going to hear from Morgan Lucas in a few minutes, so stick around for that. And how about Vincent Nobile? Back-to-back final rounds, this kid emerging in pro stock as a real championship threat. And what Alan says about Jeg and Vincent, absolutely true, that Vincent doesn't know what he don't know. And he's like, hey, I'm a good driver too. I can go out there and take down Jeg no matter what. 5 world championships, 4 in pro stock. I can beat that. And he has 3 times in the final round this season. But I wonder, will those numbers ever turn around? You keep running the same guy over and over again. You never know when the pendulum is going to swing back the other way. We'll ask Vincent, and we'll present him with your questions. So get ready, guys. NHRA Nitro is going off now. Tweet, retweet, post, Facebook. The WFO app is free in the App Store and Google Play. And in the App Store, you can even gift it. Meaning you can buy it and purchase it for a friend of yours and be like, hey, Lenny, check out this app where you can listen to WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Big things going down, and we've got it coming up here on the show. And, of course, you can consume the show in segments. It's always on demand. I want to mention the folks at ZMAX Dragway back on board. Going to be out there for the first race of the countdown coming up in a few weeks. Got to check out the Bellagio drag strips. If you've never been, put it on your bucket list. When we come back, Matt Hagan going to join us, going to talk about that monster final round victory over BT3 when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at ZMAX Dragway September 13 through 15. There's no speed limit in drag racing, so these road rockets blister ZMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Watch Sean Force, Antron Brown, and Courtney Force push the outer limits of speed only at ZMAX Dragway. Kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals at ZMAX Dragway.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now,
the stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
John Force collects his 135th career win.
And if I can live long enough, maybe I'll reach 200. That would be like catching Babe Ruth. And you know what? You're never going to take away what Richard Petty did. Wouldn't matter how many races I won. He did it in his time, and I did it in my time as a driver, because I set my goals after the people that I love and I respect. Richard Petty is the king. Earnhardt was my hero, the old man Earnhardt Dale. That's where you set your goals. And that is the dream. That's what I chase, like Don Prudhomme and Don Gartlett. And just to be able to put his name in the same sentence as John Force, Richard Petty, I'm honored to do that. And if I never catch him, I don't care. But I want the fans to know, you love him, I love him, and I'm going to chase him till I drop.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Welcome back, everybody, and all our first-time listeners. You picked the right place because we've got the winners. The Western Swing is in the books. Time to get into it with our O'Reilly Auto Parts Northwest Nationals Funny Car winner, Matt Hagen, who joins us now. Matt, welcome back to WFO.
Yo, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. Glad to be on the show.
Glad to have you back. And talking to you over the course of four different wins this season, I think you've been on a couple of other times. Man, every win you get more and more fired up, and this one, you were just over the top.
Yeah, you know, they're just so special, man. And everybody says, well, you get excited up there, but, you know, you should. I mean, these things, they just don't come around very often, and these round wins are big, and then when you get the race win, it's even, you know, it's just huge. It's even bigger, man, you know. So I do get pumped up, but it's because we work so hard to get there, you know. And our team that we have right now, like I said and keep saying, the charisma is great, the chemistry is great, and it's showing on the racetrack. And, you know, it's just an awesome feeling. And, you know, I'd hate to be able to, you know, go up there and win and not be excited about it. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't race it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be no point. It just, if you don't get fired up and pumped up about winning and a goal that you guys set, and it all comes together. And it's just a special moment, special deal.
Well, I totally agree, and it's funny because you know you'd think well, of course everybody is happy when they win, right? They're all pumped up, but some people really go over the top to show it. And I think if you think about the people who have been successful in racing, whether it be, I remember as a kid, whenever Darryl Gwynn would win, he would get fired up, like, big time. And it was infectious. It made you want to root for the guy. In Formula One, Michael Schumacher was always, like, fired up when he would win. And it does kind of show you how much effort is going into this. Now, winning this week was a departure from what you had the previous week. A little bit of a roller coaster ride, qualifying well both races. But last week, you kind of got shocked.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we rode into the Western Swing, and Dickie been pressing the envelope, I think, with our 60 foots and some stuff, and, you know, just trying to get the car to run faster. I mean, and it ran fast in Sonoma. We went out there and tied the national record, but, you know, it was just one of those deals where it went down the racetrack four times with Sonoma, and the fifth on round one, it didn't. And, you know, what was cool about Dickie is that he knows exactly where he was at and where he needed to kind of back up from pushing the envelope there, and, you know, we've got a team, you know, meeting together. We all talked, and he said, look, here's where it's at. You know, we've been doing some stuff with timing here early to try to get our 60 foot better. He said, I don't care about 60 foot now. He said, I want to go down the racetrack. He said, you know, we'll work on that as later on in the year, but right now it's about going down the track four times on Sunday. And we went back to what he knew, and, you know, and just the confidence kept growing. Had two laps and qualifying, we got two laps kind of taken away from us because of rain out there in Seattle, and you know, and the car just went down the racetrack every time, you know, in Seattle, and that built confidence for me as a driver. And you know, it was just one of those deals where you're like, man, this guy's got it together. He really knows what he's doing. You know, he said he's going to put it back the way he knows how to run the car, and sure enough, you know, it went right downtown every lap, and you know, he put a race car under me that I could win with on Sunday.
A bit of a cautionary tale, I think, for everybody involved. Not that anybody did not realize how tough it was out there. You guys are living it. But for the fans out there, Ron Capps does not qualify. Of course, that has a lot to do with the weather. You mentioned you only get two sessions when it's like that. Of course, it gets a lot tougher, and luck comes into play in many ways. We've seen number one qualifiers, yourself last week, Jack Beckman this week, run tough number 16 qualifiers and get beaten with two races left to go till the countdown, one of them being the U.S. Nationals. This is the season. The playoffs begin now, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, it's always been on. I think every one of these guys out here, they're all trying as hard as they can. I know we are, and, you know, it's tough racing. There's no easy draws in funny car. I mean, like you say, you got Jack first and Johnny and on the bottom end, but then Johnny takes him out, you know, on round one. And we were trying to, you know, we rolled up there for that last session, and Dickie looks in the car and he says, hey kid, you know, I think I can go one here. He said, but I don't know that I want to run Johnny. He said, don't be mad if we don't go one. He said, I just, you know, I think we'll go, we'll press the envelope. We'll try to run good. But he said, we're not going to try to go one because I don't want to have that kind of matchup, you know. And sure enough, we went out there and we went a six on the second session. And, you know, it just makes you really feel good about the guy because he's a racer. He's not just running the race car as hard as he can run it, just to pound on his chest. He's playing the game. He's playing the chess match. And, you know, I'm just excited to be able to have a crew chief that is just so smart and methodical about what he's doing up there. So, you know, it's cool that he's looking ahead, and, you know, and that grows my confidence. And, you know, we had some great matchups on Sunday, and just really for the Magneti Morelli Rocky car, it was cool to turn the four wind lights on.
In the first round, you ran Todd Lysenko. Second round, Paul Lee, who shocked John Force in round one. Just another example of how tough it is out there. Then that semifinal matchup. Let's talk about the battle against Courtney and what is going on, what kind of driver Courtney is becoming, because it seems like I'm watching it, I'm thinking, man, Hagen is a champion, and Courtney, this is a tough race right here. And you beat her off the starting line with an 81 to a 96. She beat you down the track, but it was a whole shot win for you. Courtney Force developing to a very tough matchup. You guys are clashing on the racetrack.
Yeah, they're all tough, like I said, Joe. I mean, you know, kind of taking it through round one with Lysenko, there's no easy draws out there. We knew we had to step up our game and go down the racetrack. And, you know, things went the way we wanted them to there with him. But, you know, what's cool is these guys and gals, they race me straight up, and they know that I'm going to try to race them straight up. And it's just good racing, and I think that's what the fans want to see. They want to see good, you know, side-by-side racing and stuff. And, you know, and Paul Lee, you know, when he treated John like that with an 040 light and beat him on a hole shot, it really made me step my game up and really get pumped up to leave the start line. I think I had like a 33 light or something, but
yes.
You just don't want to get up there and get left on, you know, and you know, the worst feeling in the world is come back there to your guys and you say, hey, sorry guys, that's my fault, my bad, you know, and we move on to the next one. And that's just, I've been there, I've done that. That's a horrible feeling. So, you know, you gotta get fired up, you gotta get up on that wheel. I mean, and I didn't, you know, I felt good about my life, but man, I wasn't, you know, I didn't know, I realized I was that pumped up to have a 33. And then the next round with Courtney, you know, to beat her on a hole shot, that was huge, you know, and, good racing though. I mean, it was neck and neck, you know, I could hear her over there beside me, and, you know, just to see the wind light come on, that just, you know, you're like, wow, okay, good deal. And then, you know, we roll into the, after the semis there, in the finals there, you know, with Bob. Bob just went to a final, I guess, in Denver. And, you know, you're like, man, this guy's going to get a win soon, you know. But, Dickie, like I said, he just put a race car underneath us that was going to win and go down the racetrack. And it was just one of those things where we went down the track four times when a lot of other folks were having problems and Bob smoked beside of us, but had another 30 something light again, and just was fired up about the whole deal. But, you know, my lights are coming around and getting better just because Dickie is so good on the racetrack. You know, it allows me to be confident out there, and it allows me to focus on what I need to do. So it all plays hand in hand, and it's just an awesome feeling to be able to be a part of this year. And we're really, really wanting to go into the countdown with that number one spot. And we have a nice little lead again. You know, we've kind of led the points on and off for the majority of the year. And, you know, it's one of those things where we just, you know, Caps was nipping at our heels. And man, when he didn't qualify, we just were trying to take full advantage of that. And, you know, it's nice now to have about 130 and some on him and 117 on Cruz, but it changes so fast, you know, Joe. It's just one or two races here, and the next thing you know, you're in the middle or back of the pack, and it's just tough racing, man. But I think that's what makes it so cool, and when you can get it done on Sunday, it makes it that much more special, and that's why I get so fired up.
Matt Hagen with us here on WFO Radio. Matt, those 30 reaction times, though, that's kind of unheard of in funny car land. We hear about...
Yeah. We hear, but you know,
that's pretty good, man. You're seeing it.
Yeah, well, you know, during the first three rounds, anyway. I mean, I keep the car as shallow as I can, and in the final, when I had another 30, I buried it up a little bit, you know. So it probably wasn't quite a 30, you know. But the first three is kind of like, you know, hey, just shallow, trying to keep lane choice. So whatever the reaction time is, it is what it is. But in the final, I mean, I'm not worried about lane choice, so I poke it in there a little bit. And so my 30 was probably more like a 50 or something like that in the final. But it's still, you know, up there trying to get it done, make it happen. And, you know, and like I said, it comes back to our team. Our guys working on the car, I know it's bolted together right. I know that this Magneti Marelli car is going to go down the racetrack, and that really allows me as a driver to become more confident and you know, focus on my craft up there and make sure that I'm not messing anything up, because they sure put a race car underneath me, and you know, it's really kind of up to me to mess it up there, because they do such a great job.
I want to get into, I remember a conversation that we had at the start of this season, and I think about that whenever I talk with you after one of these wins, because I know that you are, I think, probably still carrying with you the experience of last year, where it just, the pieces didn't work, and you just could not defend the title in the way that you wanted. You run against Bob Tasca in the final round. He's on the verge of not making the countdown. He is scrapping it out. I'm sure you are thrilled to not be involved in that situation right now. But more importantly, really trying to make the most of this performance, because if anybody knows that it doesn't, it's not guaranteed and it doesn't happen every year, it's you.
Absolutely. You know, I think I carry every experience with us. You know, it's one of those things, you don't forget the ones you lose. You know, it's easy to celebrate and party about the ones you win, and you kind of just pack those away. But for me, I think about all the stuff that we could have done or should have done and didn't do. And but I think that helps, you know, grow you personally and mentally. And it just, you know, it's a lot of life lessons along the way with this stuff. So it's really hard, the school of hard knocks sometimes, but you learn from it. You know that you don't get but so many opportunities out here, and you better dig deep, better make something happen up there, or somebody else will, because there's a lot of guys out here that want this championship, and there's, you know, only, I guess there's only 14 drivers in our history of our sport that have rings on their fingers. So, you know, when you put it in perspective like that, it's like, man, there's a lot of people digging, a lot of people want it, and so you take some of those memories from the past where it didn't work out, where you come up a little shorter, you just couldn't get it together, and, you know, you pull from that, and you make sure that you get up on the wheel, and you pull your helmet on, you get focused, and you just get motivated to do whatever it takes up there to make that car go to the end and turn the wind light on, and that's what motivates me. And, you know, what also motivates me is my crew guys. You know, I mean, they're my family as well, and, you know, we work hard, we sweat together, them boys bleed for us, and, you know, it's just, you know, you refuse to be the weak link, man, you know, so, It's a cool deal, you know. I'm just glad that with DSR they put a car underneath me, and Don gave us everything we need out here to go win, and it's just a matter of going out there and doing it. And, you know, wins are few and far between, man. You know, I mean, out of 24, or I don't know how many we've got, you know, so far, but we've won 4, and it puts it in perspective as good of a team and as good of a car we have, how tough it is still even then to win.
Absolutely incredible to watch and very entertaining. Now, Matt, some other sub stories I did want to ask you about going on these past couple of weeks involving the tethers. Johnny with a big explosion 2 weeks ago, NHRA making the tethers optional, many teams choosing to take them off the car. Johnny, your teammate, who I know is around, and you guys, you know, there's information sharing between the DSR teams, put a great analogy together when he mentioned a firecracker, and the open palm firecracker may sting your hand, but if you close your palm, it's going to hurt a lot worse. Not that we encourage anybody to try that, because it's a bad idea.
Right.
But where are you at right now? Are the tethers on your car? And I know you...
No, not at all.
I know you understand, though, and I think all the drivers understand, and maybe the fans, you know, don't understand how much adrenaline is running through the average driver after a run and when you have an explosion. I think everybody understands why they're trying to do it this way, and maybe it didn't quite work out what they wanted, but where do you think the conversation is going from this point?
Yeah, you know, I honestly have to be careful about it, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. You know, and that's the same thing I told NHRA and all the folks that are working on it, and you know, and I commend NHRA for being able to make it optional. At one point in time, I thought we were going to have to crawl in these cars with these tethers on it and have no option or opinion or voice out here as a driver, from a standpoint from a driver. And, you know, and that was just, that scared me to death, man. You know, honestly, these cars are, they're on edge, and we know we take a risk getting in them anyway, but, you know, you never want to add to that risk. And I felt like we were adding to the risk for us, you know, having to crawl in one of these cars with these tethers on them. I mean, It's really is. I understand, you know, our fans, you know, obviously come first. We want to keep them safe. And I think the front body latch is a good step in the right direction to keep the bodies on the car and stuff. But the tether stuff, you know, after watching Johnny's, explosion, it was 100% failure for the driver standpoint. I mean, he couldn't see. He hit the wall. He couldn't hardly get out of the car. If it had been on fire, it could have been a lot worse. The parachutes didn't come out. Just on and on and on. And, you say, guys, this is not safe for us. We have to find a different direction and a different path. And, you know, and I had several conversations with a lot of the drivers and with Graham and with NHRA Tech and with all the folks that are working on our deal and with CAPS and, you know, just on and on and on trying to get these things off the car. And I think it came down to Don Schumacher. I mean, Don, you know, he, after seeing what happened with John, Johnny, he honestly said, we don't need these on our cars. And none of our, that I know of, other than maybe CAPS, felt like these things were safe. And, from our driver's standpoint, and, you know, we all kind of got together and we're like, we got to do whatever it takes to get these things off the car. And I'm sure this will come up again. It's going to resurface. We have to figure out a way to try to keep the bodies on the car, I guess, you know. So, I mean, the percentage chance that it floats up and gets in the stands, was very, very, very low, considering the opportunity for us to get hurt with these things tethered on the car, but there's still that chance. So I know this is going to come back up. It's going to resurface, but there's got to be a different direction that we go in, a different way of doing this. You know, anything right now, I would consider doing anything other than this tether deal, because it just, when you keep a body on the car, you know, I've been unfortunate enough to have a couple of these explosions, and the biggest thing that you can do is get the body off the car. You can get out of the race car. The fire goes out. When you trap the driver in a car like that and you set it on fire, it's just, I mean, it's going to burn more. You know, the first thing I did, I went to running Kevlar chutes and, you know, just making sure that I had every piece of fire equipment I could get on, you know, underneath the fire chutes and stuff like that. So, it just, you know, I knew the potential there was going to be really bad, and I'm just glad NHRA realized it and said, okay, look, this is going to be optional for you guys, and we'll find a different direction. So, my hat's off to them to really, for them to say, look, dude, we're not just going to be bullheaded about this deal. We're going to, you know, look at it from all directions and understand from the driver safety that, that this may not be the direction to go in. And like I said, I know they're working very, very hard. They're aggressive and they want to keep our fans safe. And you know, and I do too, but you know, I got two kids and a wife, and you know, I want to come back home and, you know, see them and tuck them in at night too. So, I mean, it goes hand in hand, and I don't think there's any, you know, one solution. But this definitely wasn't the direction for these funny cars for us. I don't feel.
And we had
personal opinion.
And we had CAPS on last week, and he concurred with that idea. Matt, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know we got a couple weeks, and then headed to Brainerd. I will be back out in Brainerd, so I'm very excited. My first experience. Any zoo advice you can give me? I'm already making my plans. I'm telling the listeners out there, Joe is going to be out in the zoo at least for a little bit. What do I need to know about going to Brainerd?
I'll tell you about the zoo, Joe, man. You just need to drink lots of water. How about that? You know, pregame with water, and you'll be just fine, buddy. And get lots of sleep, because, you know, that place is crazy. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, it's like anything, man. You know, you can have as much fun out there, or you can get in as much trouble as you want to out there. It's just a matter of how you take it and how you handle it. But you're a big boy, man, and I'm sure you'll be just fine. And we're looking forward to getting out there. And all his fans, you know, our fans had just been phenomenal this year and last year, and you know, when we struggled and everything. So I just love our fans. A huge shout out to my fans that keep following us and supporting us, and hopefully we can go some more rounds and pick up a few more wins with Magnetti, Morelli, and Rocky, and make this thing happen this year. I mean, it just it's just been a phenomenal year, and just wanted to thank everybody that supports us and digs deep and keeps rooting us on, and we're going to just keep working hard to do this. And Joe, I thank you for the time on the show, man. It's always a pleasure, and I always enjoy listening to your show.
Matt, thank you so much, and I see you on Twitter going back and forth with the fans, and I think you're doing a great job. Enjoy the time off. I know you guys just came off a torrid run, and it'll be a couple weeks, then Brainerd, then next thing you know, the big go, and we got the countdown upon us. Have yourself a little fun out there, and I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio.
Joe, I appreciate it, man. We're headed to the beach. We're going to hang out with the family and maybe drink a few Coronas and soak up some sun, man. So we'll see you out there at Brainerd.
Brainerd, baby, Brainerd. Matt Hagen with us here on WFO Radio. And you folks up there getting ready for the zoo, whatever you're doing, if you're building your float or if you're getting ready for the campground. And I've received some videos over the years, and I didn't know it is what it is. I thought it was like a campground. There's a tent. There's a couple of people. That's not what it is. It's this massive, there's like big top tents, and it's chaotic. And the videos I've seen, there's like professional bartenders. It looks like the movie Cocktail. They're spinning bottles. It's crazy. It's out of control. It's middle of nowhere. It's Brainerd Zoo. And I am very much looking forward to it. So if you are out there in the zoo, getting ready for the zoo, doing zoo stuff, I want to hear from you. Email, and more importantly, call the WFO wide open line, 954-889-6796. Works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. Get on there and let me hear like zoo stuff. Let's hear about that. And we're going to use it over the next couple weeks on the show. But I'm very excited to get out there and experience Brainerd, the Brainerd experience. What's it going to be like? I have no idea. And we'll see. We'll see. But everyone's telling me, I'm going to ask all the drivers, of course, on the show. It's going to be like my consistent thread through the next couple of weeks. Like, hey, what's Brainerd like? And they're all going to say something, and I can't wait to be out there. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to bring my, I don't even know what I'm going to bring. I got nothing. But we'll see. I'm ready for it, though. But I'm going to ask everybody what they think about Brainerd. Now, I also see CompetitionPlus.com is reporting that Corey Mack is going to be driving Mike Dakin's Warrior Racing Top Fuel Dragster at the Big Go, the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. That is massive. So, welcome back, Corey Mack. He and I share a birthday. So, we're like connected in the cosmos forever. 10 years older than I am. But Corey Mack, same day. And I listen, Corey Mack is one of those personalities that drag racing is better when he's around. Simple as that. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Morgan Lucas. Then later on in the show, Vincent Nobile going to take your questions, which we try to pose questions to one of our winning drivers every week, and you can always send them. That's one thing people need to understand. As our audience continues to grow, you guys need to understand. Are you watching the race? Yes. Does somebody win? Yes. Send an email. Question for blank. Is it Hector Arana Jr.? Is it Eddie Krawick? Is it Vincent Nobile? Is it Mike Edwards? Is it John Force? Is it Courtney Force? Is it Ron Capps? Who is it? Send an email question for him. The worst thing that's going to happen is I won't get to it. But there's a good chance I will. And where else can you do that? I guess you can do it at the track. And I guess you can do it on Twitter. But they can't hear from you. Call it in, 954-889-6796. I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. They are up on their own Western Swing, doing the Pacific Raceways thing. They already went through Denver. Most importantly, though, if you've got a bucket list and you love this kind of racing and you're like, man, I wonder what it's like. Trust me, it's better than you can imagine. Even driving a super comp dragster. Get the experience. Cross it off your bucket list. Maybe you're retired. You've done a lot of things in your life, and this is one of those things you haven't done. Check it off your bucket list. Go to frankhawley.com and check them out. Great people doing a good thing, and maybe you want to be a champion driver. Well, they can help you with that too. Check them out at frankhawley.com. We'll be back after this with Morgan Lucas.
This is WFO Radio. The one, the only WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and we've got the winners, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Northwest Nationals. The Western Swing is in the books, and folks, it's now crunch time. We've got Brainerd, the Big Go, and the Countdown, and that's it. Can you believe the season has flown by the way it has? And if you listen to WFO Radio each week, you know you hear the winners, and let's get into it with the Top Fuel Eliminator winner. Joining us now, Morgan Lucas. Morgan, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Oh, just glad to be back on here. Usually when I'm on the show, that means we did something good the week before, so pretty happy about it.
That's the way we planned it. You know, you guys earn your right to come on the show, and we are very happy to have you as well. This has been a kind of a tough season for you in that you've shown good performances but had some really tough luck. I remember at the start of the season, it was a couple of races in a row, maybe three. You had the second quickest ET of round one, and yet you were loaded up. It had to be frustrating at that point, and this has got to feel great to finally break through.
Well, you know, to be honest, for me, we had to make a lot of aggressive changes and moves at different times of the year. We had to be patient at times, waiting for parts to get in. At times, it's just it's been a weird year as far as that goes. And there was a lot of times where we were the bridesmaid of eliminations the first round, just because we didn't put ourselves in a good spot in qualifying, and we just didn't have that consistency. And I'm really proud of the team. We've had two events back to back where we qualified in the top half, made good runs when we needed to, you know, in later sessions and qualifying, and went in and it just ran consistent and good first round and on. And it just seems like things are starting to turn a corner for us. It doesn't mean they are. We might have just been on a little streak here, but I just know that we're blessed to have the opportunities that we've had to just go out there and make runs. And I have this term, you know, it's always a good thing when I get to drop the laundry out at the finish line. Basically, I mean, when I get to throw the chutes, that means it was a full pull, and regardless of how fast it is or isn't, that's a good sign for us, because that means we're going past our trouble spots.
Let's go back a couple of weeks, because we spoke with Sean on the show, and I couldn't help but put myself into the situation of you guys being in class together, kind of meeting each other and talking a little smack, being drag racers together. Not everybody is. It's kind of a unique little niche clique of people. And I had that experience in high school. And me and my buddy, we would go to the local bracket races and all. And to think about you guys meeting up, talk about racing Super Comp, and then racing in the final round in Top Fuel a couple of weeks ago. You guys raced again this week, and you were able to turn the tables on Sean, but just such a cool thing for two young people to be able to kind of live that story.
In all honesty, my racing career really started to, I guess, for lack of generic cheesy words, it started to blossom when Sean and I started hanging out as buddies. You know what I mean? That I was always into racing. I was always diehard into it. I got it. But something about just being around a bunch of other people that all they did was care about racing and performance, you just start noticing the difference in your attitude and approach to things. And Sean and I, we were teammates in Supercomp. You know, he drove for Lucas Oil for a long time under the Supercomp banner, and also now called Dragster. He drove my car quite a few times. We got him licensed, and he's just one of those guys that you always knew had just the talent to drive anything that he got behind the wheel of. And it was always fun, you know, to be honest, racing him in the finals, semifinals, any time. It's just it's kind of what we always talked about and always dreamed of, was just having a chance to race against each other. And and we're doing it. We're living the dream right now. You know, I think it'd be really cool if we can actually maintain this performance and try to compete with him for the championship, because I think that would say a lot about two goofy Southern California kids that, you know, just basically put their heart and soul into the same thing.
Absolutely, and fun to watch. Knowing you guys a little bit, I can't help but thinking how cool that story is. And I'm sure you guys are going to go head-to-head throughout the year. There's still a lot of racing yet to come. Let's talk about your day, because it was not easy, to say the least. Doug Coletta in the first round. He had a 71 light, left the starting line first, ran an 81.7, and the day was off and running. That's the kind of run that can get things pointed in the right direction.
Honest to God, that run... was probably, I would say, out of all of them, the most nervous round for us, because of the fact that Doug has been such a strong, that whole team has been so strong, that whole Mack Tools group, in opening rounds and qualifying all year long. And, we qualified fifth, and when I looked at the sheet after qualifying was over, and I said, we qualified fifth only to have to race Doug Coletta first round. I was like, what's the luck with that? But our Geico team, they stepped up. They did everything they were supposed to do. Aaron just spearheaded everything, and the guys just they were perfect all day. And it was fun to watch that, because we noticed as the track got hotter, it wasn't like it was Saturday, and we realized that it was going to be kind of one of those survival days, and we needed to make sure that above anything else we were going down the track. And you know, and it was tricky there. They replaced a patch of asphalt down track, and as soon as you got to that point, you started spinning. So it was like you had to dance this fine line of hauling as much butt as you can to that point, and then you got to try to coast through that section and try to spin and not drop holes, you know, just try to balance that line. And racing Sean the second round racing Belushi, we knew that team could run as good as anybody, and Belushi's been driving really well, so we knew that there was going to be a lot of challenges in that round as well. You know, we snuck by that with an 86, running Sean in the semis. After the final in Sonoma, we basically said, all right, we just need to go A to B. We need to make them beat us, because the bottom line is we can't go up there and try to fall in this mental game of just going up with smoke and tires or doing something stupid because we're trying too hard to win. And that paid off for us, which was great. And then going to the final, it was kind of the same boat, because the track just, it got hotter as the day went on. And Grubby, he was running great, but again, we didn't want to do something that was going to shoot ourselves in the foot. So we just had to race smart, and I feel like we outlasted the competition that on Sunday. And there wasn't a single easy round for us. And again, it's just one of those deals where you just got to count your blessings and know that it was a good day, and everybody had the wherewithal to just stay focused, and just really, really proud of the whole team. And I got to say one thing too. Sean, after we won the race and everything, he came over to the winner's circle and congratulated everybody on the team. And it was just really a classy deal on his part. And, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, something we've all wanted to do, but Sean and I really, we spent a lot of time just talking about it, daydreaming about it as buddies, you know. And, for him to do that, it just shows how much he's grown and what kind of a class act he is too. So it's fun to have, that kind of camaraderie in our class, but it's cool when, you know, somebody that was in your wedding, you know, like Brandon and Sean are both, you know, like groomsmen in my wedding, and they were just, it was great to have them there, because these people are probably going to be friends for life. You know what I mean? It's just a great day.
Absolutely. Two Coletta cars, two Alanabi cars, and you're the one holding the Wally at the end of the day. I want your thoughts on Aaron, because I getting to talk to him a little bit on the starting line this year, hearing him do his interviews. It's obvious that there's so much going on in the background. Whenever he's doing something, he's thinking about just a million different things. And for him to be able to be emerging in his position right now at this crucial time where we're getting ready, basically got Brainerd, and not to minimize Brainerd. Of course, you want to win everything from this point out. But it's about to get really serious. Brainerd, the U.S. Nationals, the countdown. It's got to be a great relief to have these back-to-back finals before you get to that crunch time. And two, you can kind of see Aaron getting going, and it's always obvious that he's working on the next thing. Just looking at him, he's always processing new information.
Well, you know, something we've tried to accomplish all year, and something that Aaron has really worked hard at with the guys, is taking that tuning window and taking it from this little, tiny little window and trying to make it into this big window. That's the problem we've had all season, is just that it just, there was no margin for error at all. And, after Norwalk, you know, before Chicago, we made some big moves in the clutch and in the blower department. Seemed like there was a lot of potential promise there after how qualifying went in Chicago. But when the track started warming up, we didn't have a way to really back it down. We tried making moves like we would prior to the change and just didn't seem to phase it. So we went to test in Indy, at Lucas Oil Raceway, and the guys at the track, they did a great job prepping it for us. We made some big moves, just tried some different things, and it paid off. We knew going to Denver that Denver's Denver. I've never had any luck in Denver. That track is, with the altitude and all the different things, it's kind of like a crapshoot. And we're just fortunate to survive that race and make it out of there. And when we went to Sonoma, we're like, all right, take Denver, set it aside. Let's just go back to what we learned in testing. And Aaron, once he gets into his comfort zone, he knows not to go out and try to jump way outside of that box. You know what I mean? He's trying to just make sure it's as consistent as possible. And that's one thing I like about him. He knows how to be aggressive, and he's not afraid to be aggressive. But when he's in his window and racing starts, he just goes up there with a certain amount of confidence. And that's what really puts me at ease when I'm driving the car. And my confidence got down. I wasn't driving as good as I should have been. And to be honest, in the last 2 weeks, I haven't drove as good as I could on the starting line. But I feel like with the success we've had, it's going to get better. My mind's going to get in the right place, and we're going to hopefully just continue some success. We're not going to win every race, but hopefully we got the team to rally some points together and try to make a strong run at the end of the year.
Morgan Lucas with us here on WFO Radio. Eighth win of his career, back-to-back final rounds, third final of the season, first win, and peaking pretty much at the right time. Morgan, going into this championship battle now, I know I'm alluding to the championship, but to me it's such a competitive year with so many cars that are capable of winning. You mentioned you don't even have to win races. Of course, winning races is important, but if you can go a couple of rounds in each of these countdown races, you're going to put yourself in a really strong position. How are you preparing yourself for the championship fight, like psychologically, like a baseball player, a football player, maybe have a routine? You've got a real legit shot to win the title. You got the car, you got the power, you got the people. You're merging and peaking at the right time. Certainly better to be where you are now, coming off back-to-back finals, than where you were earlier in the season, maybe kind of hunting for it. How can you maximize your performance, and what are you doing to get there?
Well, to be completely honest, we've never been in the position to chase points before. And I know I've been talking about points and the potential to make a run at the championship at the end of the year, but in my mind, I just want to go into every race like it's just a normal race. I don't want to do anything stupid to psych myself out on an everyday basis, I know I have the potential to drive as good as anyone else out there. I'm not going to say I'm going to be better than anybody else, but at least within reasonable range. There's a lot of great drivers and a lot of talented people in our sport. And, you know, everybody's got their strong points. I just want to be a good, consistent fixture that the guys in this team can rely on and they can work around and know that I'll at least be where I should be. And, you know, that's all I can really do in my mind right now. I don't want to go in with any other kind of preconceived notions because, like I said, we've never chased a championship. We don't know how to chase a championship. You know, Sean, he's never had a top field championship, but he's had Supercomp championships. And to be honest, to win those is almost, if not tougher to win one of those as it is to do what we're doing because you're a one-man army in that situation. And there's a lot of guys that have won championships or been part of those teams or crew chiefs that have won championships, so they know, they get it, and they can lead people to that point. And for us, I think because we don't know any better, it kind of makes us a dangerous wild card in situation. And hopefully, you know, we just go out there, we win. We as a team, we love to win. And I guess really to win a championship, you got to go rounds, you got to put yourself in a position to win, so that's priority for us.
Morgan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Wish you a huge congratulations on this win. Having been able to see, you know, how hard you guys are working out there to make this happen and how the team has kind of come along and evolved, it's very cool. I know you got some special things going on in your life off the track as well, and to see everything kind of coming together right at the time where the spotlight is the brightest and the fans are most paying attention, and it's just going to be so interesting to watch you out there battling for the title. I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing a little of the behind the scenes with us.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a great time because you're so good to me and our whole team. So anytime we can be on here, it's a good sign for us.
And a quick sidebar, any info on Brandon? I mean, I know you're close to the situation. There was a report on the broadcast that maybe he was having a little flare-up. Obviously, that's the last thing we would want to see from him. That having been said, you know, you guys always tell us, like, what this launch feels like, not just the launch, but the deceleration. And I can imagine if you had a back problem, that would just be a really difficult thing to deal with. How is Brandon, and do you have any word that you can share with us about what he's going to be going through, if he's going to be able to make these coming races, and if that's the right thing for him to do?
You know, I can't speak on what's going to happen in the plan, but I can say that he is having some pain. The problem hasn't completely gone away yet. And I don't know, it could just be the fact that he probably hasn't had enough time to really let everything heal the way it probably should. But he's a racer, he's a competitor, he wants to get in there and get in that car and perform. And for me, I'm kind of down to the fine line because he's one of my best friends in the world. You know, I want to preserve his health from the, boss team owner kind of standpoint, but at the same time, I don't want to make him hate me because, you know, I'm telling him to do something he shouldn't, you know, he doesn't feel like he needs to be doing it. So I'm kind of trying to make sure he's maintaining that line of health and not doing anything that's going to overdo it and cause any kind of permanent damage. So hopefully, I know he's got some appointments this week. Hopefully we get some updates. We find out what's going on with the back, and then we can make a decision on the back half of this year if we need to let him have a chance to heal up and get ready for next season or whatever it is that we need to do to make sure that our assets, our team member, our pride and joy is well taken care of.
Absolutely, and I understand. It must be a very difficult situation for everyone involved because I know he wants to get out there, and being away from the track or being away from the competition has got to be very difficult for him. At the same time, I can't imagine the pain or difficulty he must be going through. And so obviously give him our best. And we'll see in Brainerd in a couple weeks. It'll be my first time out there. I'm telling all the drivers, my first zoo experience. So I'm super stoked about that. And then we're off and running. Got the big go and the countdown, big things happening. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan Lucas with us here on WFO Radio. And they are heating up at the right time. They are getting there. That's what the season is for. to figure out everything, and I am just so excited about the concept of the countdown this year. Like, everybody is a major player. Everybody has come to play, and some big things happening in the Nitro classes. You're going to hear it all right here on WFO Radio. Thanks to Morgan Lucas, and of course, get well soon to Brandon Bernstein if he even requires that. Look, back injuries, very difficult situation. It's connected to everything. That's what you hear about. And I can imagine that the G-forces of a Nitro car taking off is excruciating. And even if you're all healed up, if you're perfect, it's probably painful. So we'll just keep our ear to the ground on that story. Speaking of stories, Tony Stewart, how about that story? Coming down earlier this week, involved in a sprint car accident, and for all intents and purposes, going to be taken out of the championship unless some sort of miracle healing job happens, which I just, at this point, I don't want to speculate, but I doubt. Really makes you think about the responsibility to your guys. What did Matt Hagen and Morgan Lucas have in common? And what will Vincent Nobile have in common? They all thank their guys. Because on every one of these teams, it's a collection of personalities. And every one of them is sacrificing. I know they're getting paid. They're all getting paid. They all are there because of a combination of passion, but also they're gaining experience. They're bringing something to the table. But every one of those guys is sacrificing time with their families, time at home, sacrificing something, normal life. And when your driver goes out and is taken out of the championship because of something, wow, talk about letting the air out of the balloon. Just a sad situation. All the fans, all the everything. Big story, not necessarily Mellow Yellow Series oriented, but big story in the world of motorsports. And that's something we cover on WFO Ignition. When you go to the website, there's two buttons. There's Nitro and there's Ignition. Ignition is NASCAR, Formula One, IndyCar. We just kind of have fun with our fantasy leagues. We've got a big thing going on with Ignition. I know a lot of our NHRA Nitro fans don't even click that. It's in the app as well. Not an interview show per se, more of a commentary show. We have a lot of fun though. But big story, big story. We're going to be all over it in the weeks to come. Big things happening. All right, when we come back, Vincent Nobile. Back-to-back race wins, back-to-back wins over Jeg, three wins in a row for Mopar, all six finalist Mopars. So big stories going on, but Vincent is also going to answer questions from you guys. We got some email questions, and we're going to present them to Vincent. Very cool young man, and he is positioning himself to be a champion in the Mellow Yellow Series. And so we're going to talk with Vincent, and then later on in the show, Dan Fletcher, after wins 84 and 85, going to talk about what he's still got out there to try and win and what he's going to be doing. So stick around, but first I want to tell you about the folks at Wilson Manifolds. I know we got a lot of racers out there. You might be a bracket racer. You might be involved in some sort of dirt track racing, late model racing. Who knows what you're doing? But I can tell you this, and I know that you know this, that if you're an engine builder and you're looking for horsepower, the intake manifold is a very important, vital spot. And the folks at Wilson Manifolds have been working in that area for a long, long time to find those fractions of horsepower that can give you the advantage on the competition. Better than I could do, you can go to wilsonmanifolds.com, open up a browser, and check it out. Whether it be a carburetor spacer plate, whether it be a complete nitrous oxide system, whether it be a throttle body on fuel injection, whether it be an intake manifold, they can really help you out. All you engine builders out there, open a browser, check out wilsonmanifolds.com.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at ZMAX Dragway September 13 through 15. There's no speed limit in drag racing, so these road rockets blister ZMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Watch John Force, Antoine Brown, and Courtney Force push the outer limits of speed only at ZMAX Dragway. Kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals at ZMAX Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The Ultimate Racing Show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now. WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFORadio.com.
I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Welcome back, everybody. Following the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Northwest Nationals, the NHRA Western Swing is in the books. And all you first-time listeners, if this is your first time on WFO, well, this is what we do. You hear the winners on this show, and it's about to get very serious as we're rolling into Brainerd, the big go, and then the countdown. But first, the Western Swing, which turned out to be the Mopar Swing. And joining us now, Pro Stock winner, we heard from this guy last week. He's back again, Vincent Noville. Vincent, welcome back once again.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me, man.
This is how it's supposed to work, you know. You win races, you come on, we get to know you. You've even offered to answer some questions from our listeners. I love it.
Yeah, I know. 2 great weekends in a row. Can't ask for much more, right?
No, you cannot. And what a battle is emerging. We talked about running Jeg last week, and here we are, you and Jeg again in the final round. I think that this is a trend that we're going to see play out over these next races, including the countdown.
Yeah, I mean, we both have great cars. We're part of the same team. Both got engines from Alan Johnson and Roy Johnson, so you know we both got the power. And, you know, I was just fortunate enough to get the victory over him again. He's a 5-time world champ, and, you know, he's no slouch. They have a great team over there. And I always grew up watching Jeggy, looking up to him. He's a great driver. And to be able to beat him 3 times this year in the final round, it's pretty amazing.
Now, I want to go round by round, and we've actually got some email questions from listeners, but drag racers are a superstitious bunch very often. I wonder if you are at all, but more specifically, the numerology of racing. We've seen it this year with Spencer Massey and Sean Langdon. Spencer won like the first 11 head-to-head matchups, and then it went back, and then it went fourth. You've got a good record against Jeg to this point. Are you worried about the pendulum swinging the other way just because of the way the numbers work?
Not really, to be honest. When I go up there, I don't even think about my track record against anybody. I think I have just as much of a chance to win as I ever did. So if I go up there against Jeggy in a final round, I'm thinking I'm going to win it again.
That is such a great attitude, and that's a fresh young person's attitude. You're not weighed down by these superstitions and craziness. qualified sixth and go on to victory. What about that Mopar swing? You guys had the brooms out and Roy Johnson taking the photos. You were able to complete the three-race spring, Alan and yourself with the final two races.
It means a lot, especially to Alan and Roy. You know, they worked their butts off. Actually, back in Sonoma, we broke one of our good engines in the final round against Jeggy, and those guys, Roy and his guys, the engine guys, had to go back to Tennessee and fix them up. They were actually planning on staying out for a week and having a little mini vacation, but they're hard workers. They went back home, and that's, I guess, what the team's all about. They took one for the team, went back, fixed the engines, and got us back in the winner's circle. So, you know, I got to owe it all to Roy Johnson and those guys, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even have a bullet put in between the frame rail.
There you go. Let's go round by round. Where the first round you had to run up against Chris McGahey, had a 35 reaction time, ran a 59, and you were able to get past Chris, who is, there's a guy who's really fighting hard to be a part of this pro stock field.
Yeah, without doubt. Chris is he's a great competitor. Honestly, I'd like to see him come out to more events, especially with his low car counts in pro stock. But the more he comes out, the better that team's going to get, and that's pretty much how it is.
In the second round, that's the epic matchup right there. The way the ladder worked out, you had to run against Alan Johnson, the reigning Mellow Yellow World champ. The guy is obviously one of the best in the business right now with a world of experience. He's the leader of the team, so to speak. And when you got to go against him, you got to bring your A game. What's it like preparing to run Alan? I know he has told us he sometimes likes to goof around, maybe a little gamesmanship, maybe try to get into the head of the people he's racing. What's it like when you have to race him?
Honestly, I just do the same thing I do with everybody else. I just go up there and do my thing. I don't really play money games, or my games for that matter. But, you know, specifically that round, he was the fastest car in the first round, so we knew we were racing against a really fast car, and Alan's always fast. But, you know, I felt really confident about that round for whatever reason. We were the last pair out. Everybody was unsure what lane we were going to get because there was a bunch of juggling around between the prior pairs. But for whatever reason, I got on the radio and told my guys, hey, I don't care what lane we're in, we're going to win this round. I'm pretty confident about it. And they all laughed on the radio, and as you can see, we turned the win light on.
Absolutely. And what was just a spectacular race, something like 4,000. On TV, you could barely tell on instant replay who got the stripe. And it sounds like that the track has come around up there. That's a facility that they invested a lot of money in, and just the fact that it didn't seem to matter where you ended up, that sounds like good things, good statement for the track.
Exactly, of course. From prior years, it seemed like when the sun came out, that right lane would go away, but actually that's the lane Alan picked in that round. So as you can see, the money they put into the track really worked out, and I mean, I really like going to their track in Seattle.
Listen, it looked awesome. I haven't been there yet, but we always like to salute investment into the facilities here on the show. That is a huge deal. Semifinals, you got to go up against Greg Anderson, who, if there's a hungrier driver out there, I don't know who it is, because Greg is. Every race that goes by and he hasn't won, it's shocking that Greg has gone so long. You had a 30 reaction time to his 43 and really able to just power on to victory.
Yeah, you know, the Summit crew, they're kind of struggling, especially for those guys. They're definitely used to winning, but hey, it's drag racing. That's how it goes. Everybody has their ups and downs, and I guess they're just on the downstroke for a little bit, but I'm sure they'll be right back on the thick of things come the countdown, because that's when it all really matters. But actually, that round was a little interesting. Greg had some kind of staging malfunction. The light wasn't turning on for him, and I was just trying my best to keep my composure and not mess up. And luckily, I was able to do that and stuck with, I think you said, a 30 reaction time, which I think is pretty accurate.
Yeah, and we saw that, and it was wasn't sure exactly what it was, whether it was flickering the bulb or whether it was some sort of weird thing like we saw earlier in the season. But that's the aspect of drag racing where you're in there and you don't get a second chance no matter how it turns out. So you got to hold yourself together.
Exactly. And from what I understand, there was actually one of their guys' earplugs fell out. on the track and was blocking the stage beam of some sort. I'm not really sure how true it is, but hey, I'll take it. It gave me the win and brought me to the final round.
And then the final against Jaggy, where Jag actually got off the starting line first, but you had your best run of the day. And just looking at your performances, of course, over the course of the day, consistency wins bracket races, and consistency wins drag races, too, from a 58.6 to a 59.2. That's a pretty solid variance. I mean, your car was on rails.
It was. I definitely had a great car, and I owe all that to my team. They worked their butts off that day. And actually, in the final, we made a really great run. The air was a whole lot worse than it was all day, and that 58.6 was pretty killer for us. That was a really great run, and, you know, I was pretty confident in the final. I knew Jaggy was going to bring his A game, being that we beat him last week in Sonoma. So I had to do my best. I actually came up a little bit short. I was a little bit upset with myself with that 46, but hey, it's nice to have the car to drive around someone every once in a while.
Absolutely, to not have to win on a hole shot every single time, and that's going to have to give you some confidence. So, listeners, Vincent has agreed to answer some questions, and what was interesting, Vincent, is last week we got a question or two for you, but you and I had already spoken for the show, and so I piggybacked a couple of new ones that we got with the questions from last week. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll. Let's see them.
All right, this first one's one from last week, from Jeff in Bakersfield. Vincent, congratulations on your Sonoma win. Can you go back-to-back?
Hey, well, if I got that question last week, I would have said definitely. It's one of my goals to go back-to-back. I have never done it before. But now, in hindsight, I could say I did it, and we can mark that off the bucket list. You know, it's definitely a hard feat to do, to win eight rounds in a row at two different tracks. Only because conditions change a bunch, but, you know, I have faith in my team. My car was running really well in Sonoma. We got to Seattle. We ran well again, so there's no reason we couldn't do it. And honestly, I think we're going to get a three-peat over in Brainerd, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, wow. I will be in Brainerd, so I'm be very eager to see if that goes down. And, Jeff, thanks for your question. See, we ask the questions, even if they are outdated, as this one was. This next one coming from Linda in California, Vincent. Congratulations. Growing up around drag racing, you must have seen a lot of cool things involving legends of the sport. Are there any you can share? Asks Linda.
Definitely. You know, I consider my dad one of the legends of drag racing. He might not have made a big name for himself over in NHRA, but when he raced IHRA Mountain Motor Pro Stock, he was the top dog out there. And in 2004, I believe I was 12 years old at the time, and watching him race and winning all these races was pretty amazing. Back in 2004, he broke almost every track record there was. He held the national record for the year in both ET and speed, and ended up winning the world championship. So that was a pretty cool experience for myself.
Was your dad as excitable as a driver when he was behind the wheel as he is watching you?
Of course he was. He's the same guy behind the wheel and behind the car. He's a character.
Definitely. And drag racing needs more characters. That is for sure. Here's the next question. This one coming from Mark. A little more serious. Vincent, what do you think about the future of Pro Stock? You are starting to be a real weekly threat to win, just as the class is experiencing some short fields, asks Mark.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually a little worried about it. These short fields are not good. NHRA really needs to do something about it. Back in the early 2000s, late 90s, we'd go to a race and there'd be 35 Pro Stock cars, and really that's what we need today. Honestly, I don't know the fix for it, but as a group, as a whole Pro Stock class and NHRA, we really need to get together and think of something to get more cars out there, make it a little easier to run Pro Stock.
That, you know, that's one that we're working on, a special show, and I know Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, folks, we always encourage you to go read. I had an interesting story about Pro Stock, just about how expensive it is, how difficult it is, how hard it is to jump in there and be successful. And one thing, Vincent, that everyone seems to agree is that there is an issue, but nobody seems to have any ideas of a solution. It's almost like It's like this Rubik's Cube of confusion because you can't throw out the platform and start from scratch. At the same time, it's too difficult for new racers to come in and be successful. So it does seem like a big problem.
Exactly. It really is a big problem. But if we get together as a group, more brains are together, are way smarter than just one brain. So if we start throwing ideas out there and just conversating, I think we could come up with something, to be honest.
I certainly hope so, and we hope to kick around some of those ideas here on the show in the future. Alan has agreed to come on and talk about some ideas. And, you know, they're all over the place. Like some people say smaller engines with a power adder. Some people say bigger engines and fuel injection. Some people say, you know, it's all over the place, Vincent, what people are throwing out in terms of ideas. Some people say don't ever get away from 500 cubic inches because that's the essence of pro stock, but do some things to restrict costs so that it's not just so expensive.
That could be a great idea. Actually, one of the things I thought of, which would help all of the classes, is I think that NHRA needs to give everybody a bigger purse. Going there and qualifying and just getting what they give us really isn't enough money to race pro stock, top fuel, or funny car, or pro stock bikes for that matter. You know, if they gave us a bigger purse, it interests more people to get out there and try and qualify and try and win races, and it would help pay for the whole deal.
Isn't that the truth? Next question, this one coming from Frank in Charlotte. Vincent, if you had to choose, would you rather win the championship or the U.S. Nationals?
Oh, that's an easy one. Definitely the championship. You know, the U.S. Nationals is definitely a big race to win. It's definitely on my bucket list. But to pick one, it would definitely be the World Championship.
And there you have it. Those are our questions. Vincent, thank you so much for taking questions from our WFO radio listeners. Now, what are you going to do between now and Brainerd?
Now and Brainerd. I'm home now. I actually stayed out for the whole swing, so I've gone for 19 days. So I'm going to take a few days to rest and relax, and then I'll be working with my dad for a few days, and then we'll just head back out to Brainerd.
Very cool. Now, you've been there a few times. What's the zoo like? I'm asking everybody because I will have my first experience out there. People have been calling my show now for years and years telling me about just the spectacle, how crazy it is, how, you know, out of control it is, how fun it is. I just found out last year that the zoo, there's like a lot of people at the zoo that don't even know that the drag race is going on. The drag race is like a sub part of the zoo as opposed to vice versa. I just figured that one out. You got any zoo stories?
I don't have many zoo stories, but it definitely is a good time. If you're out of Brainerd, definitely go to the zoo. You can hang out with a bunch of the drivers, get to talking and whatnot, but it's definitely a crazy time. You know, some people get stuck out there and forget the race is even going on. That's how much fun it could be. But, you know, if you're out there, definitely stop by the zoo.
Absolutely. Well, I will have my own zoo stories that I will be relaying here on the show. Vincent, congratulations. Back to back, you're right. That's a big deal because it shows consistency and it shows the ability of your guys to navigate situations consistently, and to think about winning 8 straight rounds in NHRA Pro Stock, that is unreal. Congratulations. I know that's a big deal for you. Keep it going, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. All right. Thanks again.
Vincent Nobile with us here on WFO Radio, talking about his dad, by the way. How cool is that? That's one thing I really like about those guys, that whole family atmosphere. They're always very nice people. Their pit area is super friendly and cool. And his dad was just a monster out there in IHRA Mountain Motor Pro Stock and just wears his heart on his sleeve, is super fired up. And Vincent, given this championship a real ride, we will see exactly how it's going to turn out. He's definitely one of the contenders. Right now, he is definitely one of the contenders, and whoever comes out of the box strong in Charlotte is going to have a real legitimate shot. Big thanks to Vincent for answering questions from the WFO audience. And remember, folks, the wide open line is always open, 954-889-6796. And I know some people have been like, well, you don't have an 800 number, so I can't call. Well, listen, you don't have a plan that you can call 1 minute to a voicemail Skype line and ask your question? I don't know if I believe that. I believe it, I guess. But then you email me. That's all. You just email. You go on, don't want to ask your question over the air and bust a little chops with the drivers. That's fine. Just send an email, joe@wforadio.com. But you can ask questions of the winners here on WFO Radio, and that's our thing, baby. That's our thing. And what I really like is when these drivers win back-to-back races like Vincent just did, we get to know them even better because we heard from Vincent last week. It's in the archive. You can go back and listen. We hear from Vincent again this week, and you never know. Maybe we'll hear from him after Brainerd. He says he's going for three in a row. So we shall see how it all works out. But great to hear from Vincent on the show. All right, when we come back, Dan Fletcher. And a lot of you people are listening because of the Mellow Yellow series and maybe don't know, or maybe you do, the stars and the legends of the Lucas Oil series. Well, Dan Fletcher is one of them. Put it this way. The guy's won 85 times. 85 times. Doubled up this past weekend, won stock and super stock. Win lights are coming on left and right for the guy. And just a great personality. We're going to hear from Dan Fletcher when we return. Want to remind you guys, got a cool thing coming up here for those of you based in South Florida. The Daryl Gwynn Foundation has got their big 1980s party going on. Daryl, of course, giving away wheelchairs to people in need. Daryl, big South Florida guy, WFO Radio based in South Florida. He's like our top fuel guy. Our NHRA legend. Of course, the state of Florida has a couple of big ones that you might have heard. Big being the operative word. A guy named Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Florida. Daryl Gwynn, Florida. A lot of them live in Florida now, but that's not important right now. What's important is the big Daryl Gwynn 1980s party at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino going on, coming up in September. Folks, we're going to give you a chance to win. Go to DarylGwynnFoundation.com. Check them out. But we're going to give you a chance to win tickets right here on the show. So you got to keep checking back over the next couple weeks. All right. When we come back, Dan Fletcher with us here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out wilsonmanifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at wilsonmanifolds.com.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO radio gear. Like the WFO radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO new era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and what a week it was. The whole Western swing, and could someone sweep the swing? And in the Mellow-Yellow Series, the answer was no. No one could sweep the swing except for Mopar and Pro Stock. But in the Lucas Oil Series, the sweep was swept. Once again, in fact, for the second time in his career, and joining us now, back on the show, his second appearance after wins number 84 and 85, ties Bob Glidden, the 17th driver to double up two categories in one race, Dan Fletcher back with us. Dan, welcome back to WFO.
Well, thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I gotta say, you've had such an illustrious career. This is your first double-up win, though. That was a little surprising.
Yeah, I've had had several chances. They told me this weekend this was attempt number 9 at it. And just for whatever reason, it just eluded me. I've never won both and never lost both either, so I guess that's a good thing. I'd split every time in the past, but this time I got lucky and just was able to slide on through and finish it. So nice to check that one off the list.
Absolutely. Well, the list is, what else is on the list, Dan? Is there anything else on the list that you haven't done?
Yeah, I need to win in Super Comp, dude. I gotta check that one off the list. I've won in stock and Super Gas and Comp Eliminator. I actually won a world championship in Comp Eliminator. But, Super Comp, I haven't run it all that much. I had my own car a few years ago, quite a while ago now, and I've driven like Anthony Bertozzi's car, Billy Lever's car, and, you know, I had chances, just haven't finished. So that really is, as silly as it might sound, that's kind of something I really feel like I need to get that one done.
You're driven about that. Now, what those cars are very different. Like, driving them is different. Are you a door slammer kind of guy? Is that, what do you think the deal is?
No, it's just, I mean, I haven't run Super Comp enough to, you know, I mean, if I raced it more, I think I would already have won one. But you can ask your boy Reinhardt about it. He thinks that when I drive someone's dragster, all I'm doing is breaking in a motor for him. He likes to bust my chops about it. But I'll get there. No, it's the same deal. I mean, you know, I mean, it's race car's a race car. I mean, it's no big deal. Just, you know, I mean, I've driven one, like I say, a few times this year. And, you know, just, I mean, I drove it well. Just things didn't work out. You've got to do it. I mean, come on, you know the deal. I mean, I think I got good cars, and you want to drive a Super Comp car, then I'm sure it's a good car. But you got to have good equipment, you got to be a good driver, and you got to be lucky. And if you aren't lucky, it just, you know, to hell with everything else, it ain't going to work.
Isn't that the truth? So you got to get a little bit of luck here and there, and, you know, the wind light comes on sometimes. It's just, if you put yourself in position with the good equipment and the good driver part, the luck comes a little easier, I think.
Well, it helps. I mean, there's no doubt. But, I mean, like right now I've hit a streak where the wind light's just coming on. I mean, no matter what I do, the wind light's coming on. And there's times where you can be driving great, but we're playing a game that's decided by thousands of a second every single time. And it's, you know, you can hit a streak where it just, you know, you've got 20 and the dealer's got 21.
Yeah, isn't that one we've all been to? But in terms of this, though, the wind light has come on a lot of times in a row for you. Have you kept track? I mean, dating back and between stock and super stock over the course of the swing, you got to be in the 20 rounds.
Yeah, I imagine it probably is. I honestly don't really know. When I get home and I get a minute to breathe, I might, you know, review some numbers and think about some things. But really, honestly, dude, I mean, half the work, or probably more than half the work, is just getting there. I mean, I almost didn't even make it to Denver. I mean, I had a trailer issue where it spit a wheel bearing and wrecked a spindle on an axle. I had to turn around in the middle of Iowa and strap an axle up and drive 300 miles back to Illinois to get the trailer fixed. Never pulled into Denver till Friday morning. You know, I've had, right now, honestly, dude, the stocker I've won 2 weeks in a row with, and it's got number 5 cylinder that's wounded right now. I mean, so I got a hurt vehicle that I've been able to just kind of keep limping along here until I get it back home.
Unbelievable. And is it, I think that's the side of this that the maybe the average fan doesn't really think about, that all these stories that we see, maybe, you know, Snake and Mongoose movie coming out about guys barnstorming around the country, that's what you guys are doing now. In the stock eliminator classes, stock, super comp, traveling the tour, you're headed to Brainerd now, even though the race is next week, correct?
Yes, sir. Well, this whole swing, for the very first time in my life, my career, my wife and children used to travel, you know, like all the time with me. Well, as the kids get older and what have you, now, you know, there's, you know, jobs and college, and my wife was supposed to fly into California and spend the week there and up to Seattle and then fly home from there. But her mother's having some pretty serious health issues, so she had to stay home. So I'm doing this whole gig on my own. And, you know, right now, let's see, looking down, I've logged 5,300-plus miles so far in this stint. When I got done on Sunday night, it was great to have doubled. It was great to have, you know, swept the swing. It was wonderful. But all I was thinking about is, dude, I gotta put my behind the wheel for 1,650 miles and get to Brainerd because I got a plane flight home at noon on Wednesday.
Wow, and you're doing this like you're out on your own. It's Dan Fletcher and Dan Fletcher doing this?
Yeah, unfortunately, bro, I'm it. I'm the motorhome driver, the race car driver, the accountant, the marketer, the secretary, the whatever it is you think of it, I'm it. That's just the way it is. I guess that's what I signed up for.
Well, it's working out pretty well. I mean, what do you think about tying Bob Glidden when you look at the wins list and it's Bob Glidden, Dan Fletcher together? What does that mean to you historically?
You know, honestly, a lot of the history of things get lost on me sometimes because I'm just working so hard trying to keep the lights on, trying to make a living doing this, and sometimes I just get wrapped up in, you know, what I got going on to get it done. But when I sit there and I think about that, you know, and when someone like yourself says that, I mean, I'm tied with Bob Glidden. Bob freaking Glidden, are you serious? I mean, an absolute icon of the sport, dude. I mean, it's absurd. It's just stupid to even talk about. I mean, I'm just some moron bracket racer that, you know, got into stock and super stock, and, you know, I've got 269 Camaros that roll around the country trying to do my thing, and I'm tied with Bob Glidden, for crying out loud. That's crazy. So that's pretty cool, no doubt.
Maybe he changed cars too often. Talk about the 69, because Reinhardt always drops that stat, and it is very impressive that that is the winningest car in NHRA history.
Yeah, that's probably the thing out of everything that I'm most proud of, to tell you the truth. My dad bought the car brand new. It's been a race car its entire life. Never tagged, never registered, nothing. He raced it in modified production through the early 70s. I remember watching him win twice a week, every week, every Saturday night, every Sunday, watch him go out there and do his thing with the car. And, you know, I've been racing it in super stock since the early 90s. And, like Reinhardt says, it actually is, you know, other people have more wins. You know, John Force has got 130 some odd wins or whatever. But out of my 85 wins, 44 of those wins have been in the same car. I've won 44 national events and in the same car that I watched my dad back half in the garage when I was a little kid.
That is just a great story. And I think the kind of thing that makes people want to get involved and stay involved in drag racing. Dan, for our Nitro Class fans out there that are hearing you maybe for the first time on the show, and they're saying to themselves, you know what, man, I like this guy. I want to follow along with this guy. I want to see if this guy wins a Super Comp race. How can they do that?
Well, the best way to track the races is always on Summit's website. It's Drag Race Central. That's where the best, you know, results are, I think, you know, for people following. But you can also go on, my Facebook, Dan Fletcher Racing Facebook, where I, you know, try to kind of keep people updated on what's going on. There's a few other, you know, the Peak website, the Mickey Thompson website, K&N website. They all have updates on me periodically. But best way to really track the NHRA races, whether it's nationally, divisionally, what have you, is to go to Drag Race Central. That's where you get to see all your info.
Rick Green and the guys do a great job on Drag Race Central as well. Dan, I want to thank you for getting back with me, coming on the show here on WFO Radio. Unreal performances, my friend. It's unbelievable that you are able to, you know, I would love to get inside your mind, having done some
bracket. I know you would.
Right? I'd like to, having done some bracket racing myself, and knowing how quickly this all happens, and the fact that you're able to turn it your way so often is really an unreal thing. It's very impressive.
Well, I'm just very blessed. Very fortunate to have great sponsors. Peak Motor Oil is the main sponsor for my two Camaros. And if I might just mention also for my son Thomas's Chevelle Wagon Stalker and my son Timothy's Super Street Nova. While I was in Seattle this weekend, I had two cars in Seattle and I had two cars at the points meet in Echo, New Jersey. I had four race cars going about as far away as you could possibly be, but between Peak Motor Oil and Mickey Thompson Tires and K&M. I'm blessed to have great sponsors, and hopefully we'll keep turning beacons on for the foreseeable future.
How did the boys do out there at ATCO?
Well, let's talk about how they did when I was in Denver. When I was in Denver, Thomas won the IHRA race in Canada at Grand Bend. When I was in Sonoma, Timothy won a $1,000 no-box shootout race in one of our local tracks. Last weekend, not so much. Unfortunately, they both got busted up early, but these things happen. They make more weekends.
Yeah, exactly. It's you can't win all of them. It's literally not possible, so you've done well. Dan, thank you so much. Hey, headed to Brainerd, can you give me zoo advice? I'm asking all the drivers. Give me zoo advice if you got any.
Brainerd is probably the funnest race of the whole year, dude. I absolutely love that place, and I'm a business guy. You know, I mean, I'm not Joe Party guy, whatever. But definitely, dude, I always take the golf cart with some friends and go roll through the zoo. It is indescribable. I mean, people with towing tractors around with big, huge trailers with picnic tables and lights and beer pong games on the table. Dude, it's absolutely insane. You got to go. It's the funnest time. And fortunately for me, that track's treated me real well. So hopefully I'll go do good there. But you make sure you got to get out to the zoo, bro. It's fun. Just big fun.
No doubt. No, it's happening. I'm not driving 3 hours from the airport to not go to the zoo. I'm going. I'm going. Dan, thank you so much. Big congratulations. 17th driver in NHRA history to double up at a national event. Wins 84 and 85. And your second sweep of the Western Swing back in 1994 was the first one. Very, very impressive. And, of course, best of luck in Brainerd next week. But thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Dan Fletcher with us here on WFO Radio. What a weekend, what a Western Swing. Sweeps the Swing, doubles up in Seattle, stock and super stock. And if you've never handicap raced, like bracket race, like handicap start, like you see them do in stock and super stock on race day, it's not easy. It's not easy. There are a lot of drivers out there, even in the Mellow Yellow series, that don't get it. They just want to hold the throttle down through the speed traps and control the car, which is part of it. And that's a big thing in the Nitro classes and Pro Stock, of course. But these guys that have to run both ends of the racetrack, and they could break out, they could run under, if who's doing what to the other guy, all kinds of strategy going on. It's very, very difficult stuff, and everybody knows everybody else's game and their strategies and what they're known for, and they're out there studying each other. For any one person to come out on the winning side as often as Dan Fletcher does, it's very impressive. It's very interesting, and I'm always grilling him for information when he comes on the show, and he's been on in the past in the archive. You can go back and check it out. We got to have him on more, though, to think he is barnstorming the country. Literally, this is his job, and huge congratulations for the accomplishment. And I guess we'll see him in Brainerd in a couple of weeks. The zoo, baby, Brainerd. And that's going to do it, folks. You know, this past weekend, sitting back listening to the NHRA audio cast, the web stream of the track announcing, I got on Twitter and I was tweeting from the WFO Radio account and going back and forth with some hopefully new listeners, letting them know about the WFO Radio app and that there is a show. It's a show. Do you like sports talk radio? Do you like hearing from your drivers? You like hearing from your favorite drivers? You like being able to ask them questions? You like going behind the scenes? You like knowing what's going on behind the scenes with the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil series? Yeah, well, WFO Radio NHRA Nitro is for you, but here's the deal. This is what we need from you. There's a team of people here making this happen. We've got myself, Giovanni in Miami, Patrick, of course, who's our webmaster, a lot of people helping out on our Facebook page and social media, people at the track, some of the guys on the teams and crews. They listen to the show when they're traveling from place to place for entertainment as the miles roll by. Well, here's what we need from you, first-time listeners. Tell a couple of your friends. You know that old, if you tell two friends and they tell two friends and so, if you tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on, this thing will become huge. Well, that's exactly what we need you to do. The show is free. It's online. You can listen anywhere in the world, and we put it right in your pocket with our iPhone and Android application. That's what we do for you. Plus iTunes. You can listen any of those ways. The Stitcher app. On iOS and Android, if you're a Stitcher person and you use the Stitcher podcast app, you can listen to the show that way. So we try to make it really easy, and we're about to get to countdown time. We got the U.S. Nationals, we got Brainerd, of course, and then it gets really, really serious with the countdown. Championships will be decided. And along the way, you're going to hear the winners right here on WFO Radio. And if you don't believe me, if you're like, that's not true, they don't all come on the show, go into the archive and listen to last year's countdown, and you will hear and you will feel the drama building every time someone comes on and they're talking about, man, I won, and I don't know, and can I win it? Can we do more? Antron Brown last year was awesome in the countdown. Absolutely awesome. Right through the championships at Pomona. And if you're new to the show, I imagine a lot of people are kind of signing on with the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series here at the tail end of the season as we get ready for championship time. Let your friends know about the show. We got Reinhardt each week. We got all the winners, and we're working real hard to make this the number one show in all of the drag racing world. And we got all kinds of big news coming up. So thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter, WFO Joe. You can follow the show, WFO Radio Nitro, or the network, WFO Radio, all on Twitter. You know, I was checking out the Twittersphere, right? Twittersphere. And I'm really surprised that some of the big teams don't have more followers. I was thinking about that. People need to be doing more tweeting, man. More tweeting going on. Then again, I got yelled at. So one of the Facebook friends attacked me because I mentioned Ron Capps missing the show. It's like, can you believe Ron Capps missed the show? He's like, you ruined it for me. You're supposed to put spoiler alert. And he's right. I am supposed to put spoiler alert. My mistake. Hey, I'm sorry. It was a big deal. Capps missing the show. Are you kidding me? I was stunned, in fact. And not just me. You could tell Reinhardt was stunned. Dave Reif and the guys on ESPN were all stunned. Everybody was stunned. It was a shocker. It was a shock to the system. And I know Alan and I spoke about it. But I got to tell you, I'm still thinking to myself, yes, yes, the purest drag racing history type thing is if you can't qualify, you can't race. The quickest 16, everybody else goes home. But my goodness, man, it's so cruel, it's so tough. It's brutal. Like, drag racing is brutal. If you like brutal, drag racing is brutal. Yeah, you won last week. You're going home this week. Go to the TV booth. It's like the penalty box. But I like Caps on there. But, you know, he was on the show last week as a winner. This week he doesn't qualify. What other sport is like that? It's just so brutal. But then again, what are you going to do? Qualified into the countdown, Top Fuel, Sean Langdon, Tony Schumacher, Spencer Massey, Funny Car, Matt Hagen, the lone soul qualifier. In Pro Stock, Mike Edwards, Alan Johnson, Jed Coughlin, Shane Gray, Vincent Nobile, Jason Line, and Greg Anderson. I wonder what's going on with Erica Enders. We're going to have to check in with Erica in the coming weeks just to find out the latest greatest. Because are they planning on doing a championship run? Looks like they're going to make the countdown. Because I would add her to the list of people who could do something special there. And in Pro Stock Bike, Hector Jr., Michael Ray, Matt Smith, and Hector Sr. have all locked their way into the countdown. That's going to do it. Remember, the wide open line is always open, 954-889-6796. And I know you're bashful, right? Oh, I don't know what to say when I call the wide open line. And I get on there and I get nervous, Joe. Yes, I understand. But at the same time, you have a chance to be asking questions of Alan Reinhart next week. Question for Reinhart. And of the drivers. But if you're going to call them in, do it on the weekend, man. Don't wait till like 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. That's too late. It's been a fun week, though. Fun week, fun show. Got some really cool things planned in the coming weeks. Our Pro Stock show, which we are working on slowly. Get some of the big names in Pro Stock to talk about what's up with the class. Is this cyclical? Dave Reif, cyclical. That we're going down to 15 cars, and then maybe in 5 years we'll be back up to 25 cars. Who knows? Maybe. Certainly hope so. But a lot going on in the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. Don't forget the Ignition show. Available on Wednesdays, NASCAR, Formula One, IndyCar, Motorsports. Going to be a lot of TS talk, a lot of talk about TS, because broken leg, running a sprint car. Everybody loves Tony Stewart, racer's racer, but now maybe out of the championship, that's it. 2013 championship hopes over. That's a major, major story. But hey, we could be talking about that, or we could be talking about A-Rod. Oh, no. I know, you're all hiding from that. Everybody is. Everybody, that story is everywhere. Has there ever been a story that's gotten more exposure than that? I don't think so. You can't even hear, see? I had to do it as a leader. All right, folks, that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. If you make it to this point of me just rambling at the end, then you must really love the show. This is where I try to, you know, connect with the audience. Sometimes it doesn't work. But thank you so much for listening to the show. Remember, the social media, tweet, retweet, retweet the show. Tweet it to your friends and followers. Let them know that we exist. Certainly appreciate it. I will be in Brainerd, so if you're from that part of the country and you've got a big party going on in the zoo, I want a VIP invite, please. You know, skip the velvet rope. Isn't that how it goes down? Velvet rope, all that? No? I don't know. Can't wait to find out. Thanks to Morgan Lucas for coming on the show. Thanks to Vincent Nobile for coming on the show and answering questions. Thanks to Matt Hagen for coming on the show. Always very gracious and very cool when he comes on. Thanks to Dan Fletcher for coming on the show. And I really want to see the guy win in Super Comp now, in a dragster. Reinhardt qualified. Got to be in a dragster. And, okay, very interesting. We're going to give Fletcher a segment if he wins in Super Comp in a dragster to attack Reinhardt, which sounds fun to me. That's going to do it. Thanks to everyone for listening. Much appreciated, everyone in the NHRA family. Great sport. Let's keep it rolling. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.